Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you for joining us. I am in my new studios. This is our official maiden voyage today. We are going to be live on this Tuesday edition for the next 4 hours. Again, thank you for joining us. It is December 16th, 2008. And let me tell you about some of the guests we have coming up. We have the blogger, Ben Holstrom, who first reported on the Marines to be involved at checkpoints in violation of posse comitatus and every canon of a free society out in San Bernardino, California, outside 29 Palms. It was then picked up by the local news talk station. And I have the press releases put out by the California Highway Patrol where they said the Marines would be taking part in hundreds of square miles of different checkpoints. And they did indeed carry out those checkpoints. Then they lied to the public and said no Marines were involved. But the local news talk station, we had the news director on yesterday, was able to send his people out there to witness the Marines aiding in the checkpoint. And here is the sobriety driver's license, East German checkpoint. It says the sobriety driver's license checkpoint will be operated from 9 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. The media may contact Barstow Dispatch Center at 760-255-8700 on December 12th. And this is going through the 30th into the end of the year. Now, they then put out another press release, and this press release says that the Marines would be involved. The Morongo Basin Office of the California Highway Patrol, CHIP, in conjunction with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department and the U.S. Marine Corps Military Police, will conduct a joint sobriety driver's checkpoint on Friday, December 12th. So that happened in checkpoints throughout the weekend and are continued and are ongoing every single night out there on the highways. They then put out another press release a day later saying, oh no, there's no Marines involved. And then the media went out there and there were Marines. Now, the public is on my message boards and on the Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com comment pages saying that there are no Marines. It isn't true. It isn't happening. Or the same people that were saying that we were lying about this are now saying, so what? It's good. It's okay to have Marines on the streets of America. It doesn't violate posse comitatus. So you talk about total doublethink and denial going on. It is happening. And we have Gunnery Sergeant Cox or Humbertson. They tell us one of the two will be coming on the show from the California Marines, MCA GCC Public Affairs. That is coming up in the next hour. So we'll be going over all of that for you today. My thanks to the local news station, KCDZ-FM, for getting me these two press releases that the Marines and the CHIPS are denying even exist right now. So you can walk up to the Marines and touch them at the checkpoints, but they will tell you to your face, we do not exist. Just like at Waco, when the Delta Force was smashing into the building and setting it on fire, they were broadcasting, this is not an assault, this is not an assault, this is not an assault. And as the Davidians ran out the back, they were gunned down, and they kept saying, not an assault, not an assault, not an assault. Basic military psych warfare being used against the American people. So again, doesn't matter how many videos of Marines at checkpoints we have, how many videos of Marines arresting U.S. citizens we have going back to the late 1990s, no matter how many videos we have of the Army coming up with the FBI and telling us turn our cameras off in Central Texas, no matter what we have on tape, no matter what is admitted, no matter if the Washington Post and CNN and everybody else announcing that they will use troops in America and even foreign troops in the United States, the public has been trained for decades that this did not exist, and so they are saying no, 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 no. It doesn't exist. This is mass mind control, ladies and gentlemen. Then we have Wayne Madsen of the Wayne Madsen Report joining us in the fourth hour today. I have got so much news on the economy, the police state, the up-and-coming constitutional convention. We will cover it all right here on the maiden voyage out of the new studio. Thank you for joining us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
By the way, we're going to have Tex Mars in studio for 2 hours on Thursday, and it looks like Jim Mars will be in studio with us as well on Friday. Congressman Ron Paul joins us right at the start of this worldwide transmission against tyranny and defense of liberty tomorrow, Wednesday morning, the 17th of December, 2008. I do want to take some phone calls here in the first hour on any news item, any issue you wish to discuss. I would imagine you'd want to talk about what's happening with the economy or the fact that the Marines and the Highway Patrol have been deceptive in California about the Marines being involved in the checkpoints, and there's so many other issues. So the toll-free number to join us is 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. You know, I mentioned this on Friday. I talked a little bit about it on Sunday, but I really haven't gotten into enough detail on it. So today I'm going to attempt to spend some time on this. Constitution rewrite only two states away. Critics say this is a horrible time to try such a crazy scheme. Kurt Nimmo did a report over the weekend on it. Globalist Constitutional Convention dealt a defeat in Ohio, one of the two states that are trying to pass it, but they're coming back attempting to do it. On Wednesday of last week, the Ohio Judiciary Committee were confronted by members of the Campaign for Liberty, Ohio Freedom Alliance, We Are Change Ohio, John Birch Society, the Institute for Principled Policy, Constitution Party of Ohio, the Libertarian Party of Ohio, who testified against the House resolution there in the legislature to be one of the final states to send this through. Again, they're only two states away. And Ohio called for an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. And we have a video posted on Infowars.com right now. And the committee voted for now to set it aside. But the fight is intensifying on that front. I know most listeners of this radio show know what a constitutional convention means. Some may not. We have not had one since 1913, when they gave us the 17th Amendment that took the senators away from the states before the legislatures would appoint them. That would mean they were creatures of the state, a powerful tool for the 10th Amendment. Now, they are popularly elected, which they call pure democracy, but it's not, because it makes the federal power be overwhelming. Instead of elected representatives that you elect at the state level, they then appoint with another vote, which is democratic in the republic form of government, the senator. They also gave us the income tax in 1913 and a lot more. What are the groups saying that are trying to pass the Constitutional Convention and have quietly gotten 30-plus states? They only need two more. 32 states have already done it. If they get 34, it's a done deal. And by law, it goes to the full states. And then look out. Now, they tried this in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and we were always aware of it. Patriots were always aware of it and fought it. And they've never gotten up to this number since 1913, since they were successful. Normally, they'd get 15, 20 states, and we would beat it back. We would stop it. This was done so sneakily, so quietly, that no one was even aware of this until last week. And I did get emails from people, you know, telling me about it. And, well, again, we dropped the ball. I mean, I'm not omnipresent. We can't keep track of everything. And I appreciate listeners panically calling the office and commenting on the InfoWars comment pages and Prison Planet comment pages saying, Alex, get on this. Yes, we are on it now. And we want to commend We Are Change and others in Ohio who were on this weeks ago. That's why we need listeners to support this radio show, because I do not have the funds to hire more people than I need just to read the email, just to prepare it in folders and give me the information that's important from all the spam and baloney that we get and all the Viagra ads and mortgage ads and the rest of it. We're a small organization, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why purchasing the books and videos at Infowars.com, or calling a toll-free number to get them, or having a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, or supporting our sponsors is so important, because we are maxed out here on what we're spending and what we're doing to be able to fund this operation, and the imploding economy is affecting everybody, including this operation because the video sales, again, are about half of what they've been the last few years because the economy is in so much trouble, and that's how I fund my operation. Just imagine as this intensifies, as we get deeper and deeper into this, you know, you may hear me put out the call for just straight-up donations so that we can just maintain, much less expand, and we need to expand. Now, we need to, without the money bomb, we couldn't have done what we've done now, moving into a bigger office so we could physically hire more people and so that we could physically produce a better radio show and a TV show to get the word out. And I can think of no better place, more effective place to support, bang for the buck, what we're able to do with my news websites and the radio show and the films. So that said, we are on top of that. I was busy running around last week dealing with the Marines and the rest of it and missed that, so I thank you for giving me a heads up. Dollar staggers as U.S. unleashes cash flood and deficit expands. That's Bloomberg Financial. The biggest foreign exchange strategists and investors say the best may be over for the dollar after a four-month 24% rally. It lost 5.9% in just the last week. And it goes on to say the Federal Reserve is, quote, turning up the presses. But it isn't really printing more money. It's just shipping trillions of dollars offshore to offshore banks that are openly setting up the world government. And that's why gold has gone up over $140 in the last 3 weeks. They artificially tried to manipulate it in the paper market with gold on the COMEX. And that is now being reversed very, very quickly. Now, continuing here with the news, report Mexico more dangerous than Iraq. This is from Newsmax, and for years I've been pointing out that the State Department since 2005, and that's when I first noticed it, they've actually been listing it since 2004, list the Texas-Mexico border and the Arizona-Mexico border as more dangerous than the West Bank per capita. Sure, you've got a bus bombing every month or a hand grenade attack or a rocket attack might kill somebody once or twice a month in Israel, and that's certainly terrible, and what's happening to the Palestinians is terrible. You know, they're dying every day. But statistically, it is more dangerous on the border with the United States and Mexico than in anywhere in the world. I mean, rocket attacks, hand grenade attacks, mass murders, hundreds of women alone every year kidnapped out of several Texas border towns and sacrificed. Again, do not believe me. You can't make this up. It's been in Texas Monthly. It's been in the Dallas Morning News, but it hasn't gotten the attention it should. I mean, every few months I see a new story of where they find 10, 20, 30, 40, in one case, 100 and something bodies right over the Texas-Mexico border of dead women with their hearts cut out. Because the drug dealers are Satanist. The particular drug cartel on the Texas Mexico border from Boquillas right over to the border with New Mexico with the major city there. Again, it sounds like the Twilight Zone. If you don't believe me, Google satanic murders on the Texas-Mexico border. But that's a small part of it. This year so far, and the last time I saw the number was 2 months ago, this year so far on the Texas-Mexico border, according to the Houston Chronicle, 2,000 people are dead. And that was 9 months into the year. Again, I haven't seen a story since then. We just know that the situation is intensifying. The escalating drug war in Mexico has now made America's southern neighbor a more dangerous place than Iraq, according to Strategy Page, a military affairs research group site. This month, about 26 people a day are dying from criminal and terrorist violence a day in Iraq. That's a bit lower than the death toll in northern Mexico, which on a bad day, like last November 3rd, saw 58 people killed. The website writes in a headline post, Mexico, Iraq is safer. At least 7,000 people have been killed in a two-year war between the Mexican government and the major drug cartels along the U.S.-Mexico border, according to the University of San Diego Transborder Institute. President Calderon has deployed an estimated 45,000 troops and 18,000 police officers in 18 states in Mexico. Now, again, the most dangerous area is on the 2,200-mile stretch from the Pacific Ocean, where California borders Mexico, and then to the border of Texas with Mexico, with Laredo and the other cities that are down there on the border with Laredo and Nuevo Laredo, and again, other major cities there that were tourist meccas and are now boarded up shops and shut down hotels. And that was before the economy went south. They were shut down 3, 4, 5 years ago, depending on the city, because things are so bad. Now, understand what's happening here. And, you know, they caught the head of Mexico's anti-drug police a month ago, dealing drugs, being paid hundreds of millions a year, tens of millions a month. They're constantly catching basically just hundreds of high-level members of the government. CIA aircraft earlier this year, a CIA aircraft crashed with 3.5 tons of pure cocaine, and it was an official CIA aircraft also used to shuttle ghost site victims, people that have been kidnapped, including U.S. citizens, to be flown overseas. So it's just totally corrupt. And what's happened is, the United States is giving more than $20 billion a year. Bush proposed a few months ago to give over $140 billion, I believe it was $146, we can pull that story up, $140-plus billion to, quote, fight drugs. What's happened is the $400-plus billion a year narcotics trade just in the United States and Canada a year is so profitable that there are heavily armed, powerful cartels or cowboy groups that are challenging the CIA, that are challenging the big U.S. Federal Reserve banks that openly launder the money. And so the United States has been launching drug wars, but to control the drugs and to knock out their competition in Colombia and other areas for decades. Now there's a full-bore drug war trying to knock out their competition in Mexico, but that's only part of it. There's all the human smuggling, all the other corruption that comes with it. Every week I see another Texas sheriff caught dealing drugs. The government's dealing drugs. They're killing police. But when that happens, when U.S. police are killed, it's covered up because it's politically incorrect to show that police are being killed on the Texas border.
Well, you were sleeping. They came and took it all away.
The big issue with Mexico is that the systemic institutionalized corruption,
the places where you
has now spread all over the Southwest into the police, law enforcement, into the mayors, into the sheriffs, into the constabulary. It's now in Indiana. It's now in Missouri. It's now in New York. And the police, if they don't get bought off, they just get scared and start turning a blind eye to the drug dealers. It's easier to bust your teenager with some marijuana, or if they're stupid enough to have ecstasy or to be taking it. It's easier to throw them in the hooscow instead of going after the real crime. The only way to stop the implosion of the United States and Mexico is to decriminalize heroin and cocaine and other narcotics, and then all of the masses of money involved with prohibition historically will disappear, and the corruption will have to find another area to try to capitalize on. And that's why the mafia lobbied to have liquor made illegal and actually use Christian front groups that they donated to get that done. With the last constitutional convention they had that passed alcohol prohibition. That also happened in the last ConCon. And then they had to have another convention, so I guess they had one more after 1913, to be able to amend it and get rid of it. The drug war has been a great success. It's corrupted the police, it's corrupted the military, it's corrupted the counties. The banks are laundering the money, and society is completely collapsing. Meanwhile, I was reading a few days ago, and then strangely enough, I was reminded by Gary Brownfield this morning with a guest, that in Missouri, of all places, they're going to make you pay on top of your hunting license, and they say it's a privilege to hunt on your own property that you have to register your premises. So we fought the feds on their premises ID and their animal ID. There's no law. They're just trying to force it through with regulatory orders. And now the states themselves are coming and saying, you've got to register your property. And then when you go get a hunting license, they have to check your registration to be able to hunt on your own land. And there's not even a law. They say it is a privilege. And this is to restrict and tax and regulate hunting. They've banned hunting in most nations in Europe. England has basically banned almost every form of hunting, though the royal family is exempt. They continue. And this is all about destroying culture, domesticating man, taxing every cow, every chicken, every horse, every goat you have. Regulators on your property. That's all unfolding as well. So they're throwing the book at the citizens, micromanaging every facet of our society. But if your Mexican drug lords rocketing police stations or newspapers in the United States, it's kept very quiet. And then if Border Patrol agents get shot at or somebody pulls a gun on them and they actually defend themselves, they go to prison and get put in general population and beaten within an inch of their lives because they want the message sent to the Border Patrol not to do their job. So the Border Patrol instead is told to go pick up trash on the side of the roads and then pull back 100 miles from the border and harass U.S. citizens. And it's been documented that they do not arrest illegal aliens. They are there running checkpoints against citizens. So absolutely disgusting. Iraq to probe custody abuse of Bush shoe assailant. As you know, on Sunday, this individual threw two shoes at the weasel who dodged them. And reportedly, according to the French news agency, he had his arm broken and his ribs broken. And so that's going on. He fared better than this fellow in the London Independent. And it's a report also out of the AP. U.S. detainee dies in U.S. custody in Iraq. He's one of thousands of detainees that die of heart attacks, 15-year-olds, 20-year-olds. This guy was a 25-year-old man pronounced dead by doctors of a heart attack. Kind of like they taser hundreds of people who were young. They have heart attacks, and they say, well, the taser had nothing to do with it. He had a heart attack and died right after we tasered him, but it has nothing to do with it. It's also been cases of police that get tasered, because they all do that to be a taser officer, and where they've had a lot of health problems or had heart attacks afterwards. And it's very, very serious, ladies and gentlemen. But, hey, it's not the tasers. It's a new syndrome where you just so happen to die after you're tasered because the taser makes you so scared. Continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, it turns out that the Securities and Exchange Commission had many complaints filed with them over the fact that this individual, Bernard Madoff, they're now saying it's $100 billion. It was $50 billion yesterday. They're saying $100 billion at least he stole in a Ponzi scheme run out of an official New York brokerage firm. He's now been picked up and arrested. He's admitting it was a scam. And it turns out, of course, the Securities and Exchange Commission knew this was happening. Well, yeah, I mean, the whole derivatives market, the whole securities market is a Ponzi scheme. This guy was just doing what they do.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
Well,
with sword and pistol by
the Marines are now backing off.
Many a young maid lost her baubles to
their promise to come on this radio show and account for their activities running checkpoints in California against us worthless puke civilians. Aaron Dykes coming up in about 20 minutes will give us a report on that. I'm going to play the local news report here on air so we can analyze it. And we're going to have one of the local news reporters on to discuss it. So that is coming up. Look at the London Independent today. The man who conned the world, bankers, billionaires, charities, and film stars. Oh, what are charities doing? Investing the charity money in the derivatives market. Bankers, billionaires, charities, and film stars are among the victims of the $50 billion fraudster. Now, I have reports saying it's $100 billion. This is just this article says $50 billion. Whose exposure deals a fresh blow to financial confidence, according to one tycoon facing a $9 billion loss alone. Oh, there's tycoons out there that are facing $9 billion losses just in one investment alone? But they tell us Bill Gates, only worth about $40 billion now because he gave half his money to eugenics, is the richest man. He is not the richest man. There were people with billions of dollars 100 years ago. The fallout from the arrest of Wall Street grandee Bernard Madoff was continuing to grow last night as institution after institution detailed the extent of their possible losses, and the victims of the UK were headlined by the HSBC and the Royal Bank of Scotland, which is majority owned by the British government. That's not true. It's really owned by the Private Bank of England. The charity set up by the Hollywood director Steven Spielberg was among those revealed to be among the victims. Again, he does that to be tax-free. Those aren't really charities. With a foundation set up by Mort Zuckerman, one of the richest media and property magnates in the United States. Dozens of Jewish organizations, sports teams owners, and New Jersey senator. But the biggest confessions were coming from Wall Street, from the City of London, and from the headquarters of European banks, and from banks around the world. They have poured billions of dollars into his too-good-to-be-true investment fund, which appeared to be double-digit annual returns, come rain or shine. And Japanese banks, Chinese banks, Arab banks, they all invested. Now, that's all that's happening with Goldman Sachs. That's all that's happening with Bear Stearns. That's what's happening with Citibank. That's what's happening with all. That's what they do. That's what they do. They take other people's investment money and then they leverage it out with fractional reserve banking. That's what Bill Clinton did and that Bush expanded. But in the late 90s, they repealed the Glass-Steagall Act and other laws saying that private brokerage firms could engage in fractional reserve banking. If you invest $1 with their mutual fund, they take that and don't tell you the mutual fund is derivatives, and they take it and then they loan out the debt over and over again. They take people's mortgages and then package them and sell them as a AAA-rated gold. I mean, there's hundreds of different vehicles that they're doing this with. The point is, it's a total and complete Ponzi scheme, and guess who gets left holding the bag? These financial institutions, while the money is still seen as valuable before the Ponzi scheme is imploded, which they by themselves, by design, imploded, they then buy real assets, then they tell you that it was a Ponzi scheme, they blame some mid-level minion. And then the very same institutions that engineered all of this, pose as our saviors, go to Congress 8.5 weeks ago now and say, you've got to give us total power to buy these subprime mortgages. They caused it all. Anybody with half a brain could look at it and know it wasn't the subprime mortgages. It was the derivatives, the subprime mortgage securities being a small part of, in the tens of trillions of dollars. Well, the derivatives are $1,500 trillion, $1.5 quadrillion. And then they didn't take that money while it still had value, and they buy real assets, and then they leave you and me and everybody else holding the bag as the taxpayer, and they say, oh, the taxpayer will guarantee all of this. But in truth, they know the Ponzi scheme's so big, no amount, $100 trillion, $200 trillion, $300 trillion, $400 trillion, $500 trillion, $600 trillion, no amount of money could ever fix this. And so the next part of the Ponzi scheme is the scam selling the public that they've got to, quote, bail this out, when that is just another level of the Ponzi scheme, and they've now taken the $8.5 trillion, and we haven't found out in almost 2 weeks what the latest numbers are going to be. That's the old number of $8.5 trillion. And they're actually taking that, they're letting the institutions fail, and they're taking that money and then leveraging it again through fractional reserve investing. Shouldn't even call it banking. So this is a military fraud operation, and now they're burning one of their mid-level people who kind of was a independent or wildcatter, kind of a cowboy out on the side doing this himself. And so now the media is blaming him for everything. First it's subprime mortgage, now it's going to be this guy, Madoff. It's just unbelievable. So for all of you out there, if they'll rip off Steven Spielberg, if they'll rip off all these big charities, if Wall Street will rip them off for now over $100 billion, and every day, you know, it's $10 billion, then $50 billion, then $100 billion, it'll probably be, who knows, you know, hundreds and hundreds of billions more with just this one guy's scam by the time we find out how bad it is, because he leveraged it. He engaged in fractional reserve scams, Ponzi scams. And they're now saying the taxpayers will be on the line for that. And so all these powerful charities and directors and people, they're going to end up getting some of their money back at the expense of dollar devaluation and at the expense of the American people. So I'm seeing a lot of military folks and police in military and police forums going, I'm not worried about other pension funds or teachers losing their pension funds or private industry or the automaker workers, the auto workers losing their pensions. I won't lose my pension because I work for the government. And you know, that's true. They have announced in Congress in the last month and a string of hearings what they're going to do. They're going to take everyone's pension fund, everyone's 401k, even if it's private. They're going to nationalize it. They are then going to devalue it and put a huge tax on it yearly, and you will receive a government check that is a fraction of what you would have gotten if your investments weren't a fraud, that you were promised and told were safe. So that's what's going to happen. And then you will also not just have a reduced amount that's paid to you. They will cheat you on cost of living and claim that inflation's only 6.2% this year, when inflation is more like 15 to 20%, headed into next year of 25 to 30% is what most of the financial analysts and economists are even saying mainstream. You know, we were telling you 3-4 years ago that by 2010, conservatively, you'd have 20% a year compounded interest. We've been having more than 12% compounded interest for the last 5 years. That's why the standard of living has dropped so much. But again, they're going to tell you that your pension fund check, your 401k, whatever, after it's nationalized, has a cost of living of only 6, 7%. And then it turns out the International Herald Tribune is reporting that another blow to the reputation of the Securities and Exchange Commission. They were warned, complaints were filed years ago about this particular Bernard L. Madoff investment securities. And they had not even gone and looked into it. Of course, this is a class of criminals. They wear suits. They're handsome. They went to Ivy League schools. They speak well. And they've taken over the country. It was Madison Avenue. It was Wall Street, out of Harvard and Yale, that set up, with the British, the OSS, that set up Naval and Army Intelligence. And they set up the CIA with the National Security Act in 47. Skull and Bones was founded, this is in the encyclopedia, by the British East India and Dutch East India Company money. The opium monopoly literally founded that as a British intelligence hive to train British intelligence operatives. This is mainstream history. Then they set up CIA out of OSS that is British intelligence. And what is their main game? Fractional reserve banking and Wall Street scams. They own the money machines. They control the regulators. They're allowed to do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. And so that's how they've got a rigged game, and that's how they're able to buy up the world. And if a smaller company or a smaller diamond mine or silver mine or gold mine or timber company starts cutting into their business, they send in regulators and shut them down for more than 70 years. Big government is the tool of the elite, of the rich, of the powerful. And so Christopher Cox, who leads the Securities and Exchange Commission, is doing its job protecting the criminals. And when you find out that you have had $1.5 quadrillion stolen on your paycheck, on your credit card, on your taxpayer back, and you get angry about it, and when they shut the economy down fully, which they're now doing, they're flipping the switches off right now, going down the line. Let's say there's 20 switches as an analogy. There's about 10 switches left. and they're flipping them off. They're just going down the line, switching it off, and then suddenly you see troops on the streets. Suddenly you hear the troops are going to be on the streets on the news. Suddenly they tell you they have built camps for your safety. Suddenly they admit, yes, we've hired 26,000 preachers secretly to sell you on martial law. Suddenly you hear that there is InfraGuard with 23,000 executives trained with automatic weapons to carry out martial law and shoot to kill orders of whoever they're told to kill. Their employees. That's mainstream news. They're everywhere. They are the corporate criminals, and they are going to carry out the total destruction of this nation. Now, if you're a compartmentalized Marine, or a compartmentalized sailor, or a compartmentalized Army officer, or a compartmentalized FBI agent, or a compartmentalized BATF, or whatever you are, a compartmentalized Department of Land Management, or a compartmentalized bureaucrat, and you're saying, hey, Alex, I know you're telling the truth about this. Everything you said's come true. It's all admitted now in the news. $8.5 trillion stolen in 7 weeks. We're almost 9 weeks into this. We haven't gotten new numbers in almost 2 weeks. Who knows what it'll be when new numbers come out. They come out sporadically. They're telling Congress they won't say where the trillions went. They admit $4-plus trillion has been stolen out of the Pentagon pension funds. Associated Press reported 7.5 years ago it was $2 trillion. Congress has been told on video by Rumsfeld that he won't tell them where the money went. If you aren't part of this, you need to speak up and be heard now, because if they'll steal everything that Steven Spielberg has, and if they'll steal what senators' money, and they'll steal major corporations' money, what will they do to you? I mean, if they've stolen $9 billion of Mort Zuckerman's money, this is in one scam. What will they do to you? You are not immune from this. We have got to come together now. That's why I've tried to cut back on the name-calling and the rhetoric and getting angry and blowing up at you people that have engaged in evil and gone along with this system, because I know they get you all hyped up. They teach you and tell you that you're doing this to protect America, and we've got to cut corners and break the rules, and, oh, the Marines are out running checkpoints, but it is to stop drunk drivers and check drivers' license. Oh, come on, Alex. No, they're selling us this incremental takeover because now they're getting ready to fully drop the hammer. And if you don't want to be totally bankrupt, all of you, if you don't want to be totally enslaved and have no future, you better say no to this fraud now. Many times in third world countries, the people rise up, figure out what's happening, and the fraud is stopped midway or partway in, or sometimes at the start. We're deep into this now. It's already devastating. But we may be able to close some bulkheads off on the ship, pump out the water, and get her righted and get her back into port and then fix things. But if this continues even a few more months, while everybody's distracted by Obama and in lovey-dovey land with him, it's over. He's a diversion and a distraction while you're looking at the new fancy, well-dressed, well-spoken puppet. And while you're diverted off in you know, that candy land and busy watching your football and busy thinking everything's going to get okay because the government and Wall Street say they're fixing it, they're not fixing it. This is a controlled world government takedown of the West by the private bankers who are fully bankrupting us so they can buy everything up for pennies on the dollar, nationalize the rest, and use the army to block it and suppress it so the public can't resist and ever get their liberties or freedoms back. I want to bring Ted Anderson up for this segment, the next. Then Aaron Dykes is going to be on with us. Ted, did you hear me read the headline out of Bloomberg admitting, I mean, Bloomberg is saying it's basically over for the dollar. A headline, dollar staggers as U.S. unleashes cash flood deficit, the biggest foreign exchange strategies and investment city, the best may be over for the dollar after a four-month 24% rally. Ted, what does this mean to you?
Well, Bloomberg's putting the pin right on the dot. It hit the bullseye right on the target. I'm surprised they're even going to say this. Bloomberg, you know, typically is a stock guy and wants to hide the fact that the United States dollar is going to die. They did. They came right out with that news. And I not only heard you read that one, I heard that news this morning on the way in on the talk radio shows. It's amazing that they did. They pinned it right there. Obviously, Alex, by this time, this is December of this year. By this time next year, we're probably going to experience inflation that this country has never seen before, with the exception of the continental dollar. And if you want to go all the way back to that and call that part of it, I'm just saying, since the United States currency, I should say, since the Constitution was formed here in the United States of America, the United States will have never experienced the kind of inflation that we have coming. The United States dollar is going to be falling. We're just like Bloomberg put it. They're attacking the United States dollar. That's what they're doing. They're cannibalizing whatever values left in this currency to try to bail out the problems that are going on. And like you said, I believe that this is a managed thing. It's intended to happen, and it's also intentions is to put us into some sort of a world currency. And I'm hearing that not only from you, but all over across the globe. And I do think we're heading right toward that. Now, I got to say, Alex, one of the best offers that we've been having going on here ever since I've been in business is that Creature from Jekyll Island book with the silver dollar. I have my shipping people staple that silver dollar into a plastic flip right inside of that front cover so they can take a look and they can read what this banking system's doing to us, how the system works, and understand how it works and actually take some action that counts. I mean, we're trying to call people to action here, but most of the people of the United States of America don't understand the system. And until you understand how this thing works, what pulls the triggers, what is the fundamental financing machine of this new world order, and until you understand that to its nth degree, you're not going to be able to actually have an effect here. And I just, you know, that's why...
Chad, we got a break. Stay there. We're going to come back to you after the break. Bottom line, people think it's cute to have private bankers running the Federal Reserve. It's cute and funny to have them ruling us. The new world order is cute and funny. The public is now, and the establishment minions are going to find out how cute and funny these cold-blooded people are. Their instinct is to dominate and enslave and control. That's why they're in power. We're going to come back and break down exactly what's happening with this economy. Please stay with us. All right, let's go back to Ted Anderson. Ted, when we tell people that foreign banks set us up in a Ponzi scheme, this isn't like some Ponzi at a country club that rips off everybody and then just runs off and people lose a few million or a few hundred thousand apiece with nouveau riche fools. This is the military-industrial complex taking over our nation for decades, setting up this master plan to implode the economy by design. Every anti-New World Order expert from G. Edward Griffin to Aaron Russo reported that that was their plan. We are now coming in to the master plan in their own documents to implode the world economy and then set up a world banking system called the New World Order. Now, in the Financial Times of London, in hundreds of newspapers the last 2 months, every day they're saying, yes, this is the New World Order. Yes, the bankers are going to own and run everything. And we still then have Rush Limbaugh saying it doesn't exist, it's not happening. So understand, folks, they engineered all this, and now they're telling the world that they're your saviors and that they're going to save you with work brigades and million-man tattletale squads. They are going to rob and rape us financially. They know the public's going to resist. This whole police state is so they can carry out the theft. And I know I keep repeating that, but if we don't get that message out and get it out to John Q. Public, who's listening, if we reach out, they'll listen and show them the facts, then the New World Order is going to get away with this, and things are only going to continue to get worse. Now, Ted, I've got you on today because 2 weeks ago you bought gold at $740 an ounce. You had about 15 different coin offers you were offering. You have sold out of everything but two. Okay, so 15 coin offerings, everything but two, and they're the Great British Sovereign and the Franc. That was the biggest buy you made, so that's why you've got those left. This is the tail end. He had three coins yesterday. One of those sold out. He's down to two coins right now at the 740 level with gold up at what? What's gold trading at right now, Ted?
Looking at gold at 841 right now.
Okay, so you bought gold. You bought gold at $80. Less than it is right now, and so that's factored into the price. People are not going to find a better deal on British sovereigns.
Well, it was 740. Since it's 840, that's 100.
Okay, it's 100. So I'm on my feet here in the new studio, so I'm getting acclimated. Can't do basic math. It's $100 difference, and when these are gone, they're gone. And the reason, after ranting and raving about the bankers, I bring this up is because, ladies and gentlemen, gold and silver cannot be completely devalued, and in an inflationary environment, they're only going to go up. And so you're getting into gold for $100 cheaper than it currently is trading, and this is the end of the deal, isn't it, Ted?
Yeah, I'll be having to buy at the new prices, so my prices have already gone up on the other items, and they will on these too. We're just filling the rest of the orders that we have with what's left and available. We'll be able to make good on everybody's commitment today, but I won't be able to tomorrow. This will be it.
And by the way, I don't want to get into behind-the-scenes stuff, but I actually had an argument last week, a nice argument, with one of your top gold people saying, I don't know how Ted's doing this deal. We're giving folks already a great deal. We should go up in price because it's gone up. But Ted is not doing that. The gold is $100 above what he bought it, and he is not tagging on 20-30%. That'd still be a great deal. He is selling it to you at a deal that nobody can match. Again, British sovereigns, European francs, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Ted?
Yeah, I got to say, and the product that I'm getting in now, it's all new product. Used to be able to, I was getting all the used stuff. They're done. That's all gone. The material that I'm getting now is the stuff that's been stored in banks, in vaults in Belgium, after the mint, the British Royal.
Wait a minute, you're telling me this isn't even circulated?
No, all the stuff is coming in new. It's just gorgeous stuff.
Oh, my. So you're selling uncirculated, semi-collectible coins. They're on the bottom of the numismatic chart for $100 under what the market says.
Yeah, it is. It's really a good buy at this time.
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. At the 8 after, I'm going to have Aaron Dykes on about the Marines and the local blogger. Been big developments there, but stay there, Ted. I want to talk for 5 minutes about the creature from Jekyll Island.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in my new studio. Thank you for joining us for this maiden voyage. For stations just joining us, the dollar is plunging in value. Bloomberg reports the public is finding out about the full level of the Wall Street Ponzi scheme that has stolen over 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion. Mainstream news everywhere. I have a stack here I just printed off 5 articles. Scientists back brain drugs for healthy people. They're saying put the entire population on Ritalin and Prozac. They're claiming they're brain boosters now. It's like a vitamin. Deadly poison, amphetamines, and psychotropics. So I'm going to be getting into that. The Marines have been very, very deceptive with us about checkpoints they've been running. So have the CHIP department with the Marine Corps checkpoints against the U.S. citizens. Out in California, they promised they would come on the show today. They're being quite rude to Aaron Dykes and saying no now. So we're going to have Aaron come up in the next segment with a local blogger who's been reporting on all of this. Let me go back to Ted Anderson. Ted, we've known about the private Federal Reserve. You've known about them for 3 decades. I've known about them since I first read None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Hard to believe now 20 years ago and then got involved 15 years ago, but got on air 13 years ago. These are evil bankers. They overthrow third world countries all the time. The minute they're able to get a dictatorship or corrupt military into a country, they loot it, they blow out the currency, they steal everything. They want to destroy economies to consolidate. And that's why I'm freaking out. They've set it up here. They've taken their time. They're doing it in Europe and in the United States. They do not like middle class. They do not like you doing well. They have stolen your retirements. And most retirements are down by 60%. Your annuities are down. They're not going to be able to meet a lot of the annuities. It's already happening. And Ted Anderson just offered you, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the gold deal when gold was $100 less than it is now. He made a huge buy of 15 coins. He's down to only 2 coin groups, the sovereigns and, of course, the European francs that are uncirculated, gorgeous, that he bought when the market was $100 lower. You cannot beat this deal. Ted, briefly give him the price, and then tell us about the creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah, the price on the British sovereign currently right now is at $242. That's the same price as I was offering when gold was at $740. Francs are at $195 as well. The creature from Jekyll Island thing, Alex, 12 years ago, I was on your show, KJFK. We're talking about creatures from Jekyll Island. We're putting silver dollars in the cover, and $19.95 was the price. That was the price that you buy it without the silver dollar. Well, now they're $29.95. The silver dollars have gone up by triple, and I'm still charging the same thing, $19.95. Why do I do it? Because I want people to understand this system. You have to understand the system in order to attack it. If you want to cut this system off at the knees, you need to understand the machine and how it works.
Bottom line, folks, when the yuppies find out this has happened, you won't be able to buy gold and silver unless it's at a 500% premium. A lot of analysts are talking about $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 an ounce. I don't know if that's going to happen. With a few percentage of the yuppies finally finding out they've been scammed, most gold and silver is sold out everywhere still, and the price has gone up over $140 in the last 2 weeks. It's going straight back up. Buy now. You're buying at 2 weeks ago's prices. You're buying at the price from 2 weeks ago because Ted buys it then and passes on the savings, 800-686-2237. Ted, in closing, as fast as things are imploding right now, how soon do you think until we've got bank runs and riots? You know, Salente and others, the news is predicting that.
Well, we're already seeing some of that now, but like I say, what I predict, by the time this year is over, I should say the year 2009 is over, we're going to experience inflation, bank runs, we're going to have the whole thing. It's going to be happening to us. Bloomberg right now is pointing it out. Just about every institution out there is pointing that direction. And you can see it happening. With the United States government doesn't have money. It has a printing press. And it's using it at full speed. And what do you think is going to happen to the value of the currency that's out there? It's going to get liquidated, liquefied, and the value is going to go right straight into the toilet.
Make no mistakes. Things are going to get crazy. Take advantage of this deal. Ted, in the last few months, you've offered deals you never offered. Is this as good or better than any deal you've ever offered?
It most certainly is, because gold keeps going up. I'm able to buy it. It just shoots up.
All right, we'll be right back. Thank you, Ted.
The local California Highway Patrol station held a highly questionable DUI license checkpoint Friday night. When they announced the checkpoint, they said they'd be doing it along with military police. Z1077 ran an editorial reminding the CHP about federal laws prohibiting the military from enforcing civilian laws. At about 11:30 Friday morning, we received a fax from the local CHP office announcing the action would not include military police. Also, by law, to avoid entrapment, the CHP is required to provide the location of the checkpoint to the media at least 2 hours prior. They did provide Z1077 with a phone number to call at 7 p.m. to get the location, but, defense lawyers take note, no one ever answered the phone. To add insult to injury, when the CHP held the checkpoint in front of the Home Depot in Yucca Valley, they did indeed include marked military police cars as well as uniformed military police.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So the local newspaper, the local news talk station, the local news blogs, all witnessed and reported on the Marines. And what happened, basically to recap this, is they sent out a fax on December 10th. This is up on Infowars.com, Chip News. And this has the phone number and the seal of the California Highway Patrol. You can contact Officer Rob McLeod, 760-356-3707. And it says, Chip to conduct sobriety license driver checkpoint. And it goes on to say, the Basin Office of the California Highway Patrol, CHIP, in conjunction with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department and the U.S. Marine Corps Military Police, will conduct a joint sobriety checkpoint on Friday, December 12, 2008, somewhere in the unincorporated area of San Bernardino County, hundreds and hundreds of square miles. And then it goes on to say, Lieutenant Sturgis emphasized traffic volume permitting, all vehicles, like Nazi Germany, will be checked for drivers who are under the influence of alcohol and or drugs or driving unlicensed. So everyone, no Fourth Amendment, no presumption of innocence, no due process, no reasonable. If a cop sees you swerving down the road, I hope they pull you over. That is probable cause. No, just everybody's a slave. Our objective is to send a clear message to those individuals that break the law. The CHP will be keeping a close eye out for you. And it says the sobriety driver's license checkpoint will be operated from 9 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. The media may contact the Barstow Dispatch Center at 760-255-8700 on December 12, 2008 after 7 p.m. for the exact location of the checkpoint, because they claim with a Supreme Court ruling they have to tell you where it is, so it's not, quote, entrapment. The whole thing's a violation of the Bill of Rights. And we first learned about this from a story from Ben Holstrom, and his story in the Cactus Thorns blog was posted in another blog. And then we made phone calls to the Chips, we made phone calls to the Marines, and did confirm that the reports were true. Then I called the radio station and confirmed it was true. And Friday, we put a report out with Kurt Nimmo about this at InfoWars.com, and people went in the comment page and said, it's not real, we're making it up. Didn't matter if I posted three videos of myself and others videotaping Marines at similar checkpoints in North Carolina and other places, and walking up with guns and telling people turn their cameras off, coming over to somebody probably 200 yards away from them running checkpoints and saying, turn your camera off. But the public still engages in denial, because the public knows this is third world tyranny. This is police state. Now we have the Army Times announcing 20,000 regular Army troops, combat troops from Iraq to patrol America. We post links to the stories. People say we're lying. You have to stop living in denial. This is happening. Now, I want to bring up Ben Holstrom here in just a moment, but there's been a new development, and don't worry, Ben, you were scheduled till 15 after, but the Marines have canceled, so I'm going to hold you till 45 after if you can do it, and I'm going to have Aaron Dykes, who's doing some producing for us, on the phone. Yesterday, he set the Marines up for today at this time, at about 12:08 Central Standard Time, p.m., today, they kind of got in his face and said, no, we're not coming on the show. So Aaron Dykes isn't in studio with us. He's over at the old studio calling in. We're closing down things and moving out of that office. So he's over there calling in via telephone. Aaron Dykes also writes for InfoWars.com and is the editor of JonesReport.com. Aaron Dykes, tell me exactly what happened.
Hi, Alex. Well, quite simply, I called Gunnery Sergeant Chris Cox yesterday. He's the press relations officer for the Marines in San Bernardino County. He agreed to come on the show today, and today I called an hour before, as you usually would with any guest, to confirm he's coming on, and he told me, no, I'm not coming on. I said, but you agreed to come on. He said, yes, I did agree, but now I'm busy. Don't you ever get busy? I'm not coming on. And he also gave me a backup officer named Humbertson, and he told me he was also unavailable, and that they would be in an emergency operations training and would no longer come on the show. And they also declined to come on at any other time.
Now, they can't claim they didn't know who we were, so now they found out they're refusing. When you called up yesterday, tell folks about that conversation.
Well, I called up. Originally, I called actually on Sunday during your KLBJ show, so that's how I was originally identifying myself. Although, as you know, all the websites are run together, Infowars.com, Prison Planet. And he obviously had already found out who we were. He knew about Kurt Nemo's article. In fact, he claimed he was censored in the posting, that he tried to leave a response correcting all the disinformation, supposedly, that was in Kurt Nemo's article. Although I don't see that comment. And as you know, unless you call for violence or something radical like that, no comments are ever censored at InfoWars, and I don't see them in either of Kurt Nemo's.
Well, I'm glad you bring this up, and then we're going to shift gears and go to Ben Holstrom. We upgraded a year ago, or I guess 9 months ago, InfoWars.com, so people could comment with WordPress. We went from HTML, Dreamweaver, to WordPress. We are going to hire more web people. Kurt Nemo was a great writer, great researcher, better at web than all of us, but we hired programmers to make the system where people can comment, and I can't comment from my house. No one knows why. I can't comment sometimes at other places. I can comment here at the InfoWars office with the computers here. Sometimes when I post a comment, it doesn't go up, and we don't know why. So if you're a WordPress genius, and we've tried to hire programmers to fix it, I mean, this is another side issue, but I'm really, you know, we try to provide this. Now, I've been told by some of the WordPress guys it is because we are censoring words, and we have to. The Secret Service has been here twice, that's when the problem started. But there's only things in there like shoot Obama. That is blocked because, you know, we can't have a Secret Service here. The N-word is banned. Cussing isn't even banned. We try to keep it to the most limited words so that it doesn't slow the program down when it's having to check for that. But no, there's not a person sitting there censoring your post. It has problems, and that is the issue. But, Aaron, are you saying you went into WordPress and looked for blocked post or something and didn't see his?
Yeah, in fact, I've looked at Kurt Nemo's original story that I think was posted Sunday night or Monday morning. And I've also checked the updated story. I don't see anything from anyone claiming to be a Marine in San Bernardino, much less Gunnery Sergeant.
Well, I mean, there's Marines in there saying they want to kill us and that we're scum and they can't wait to kick our teeth in. They're not being censored.
No, and I'm not sure if he's making up that he posted something. Obviously, we'd be happy to post any response they give us. That's one of the reasons we invited them on air, but they've refused to come on.
Yeah, let's do that. Call them back and say, look, you email to Aaron@Infowars.com, whatever you want on there, and we'll have our comments after it, but you go ahead and you send us anything you want, and we will post it unedited. So anything you don't want posted, don't send it. You send it. The Marine Corps sends me their side of the story. We want their side of the story. Believe me, we want it because I want to catch him in more deceit. And the reason I say deceit is we have the California Highway Patrol here saying that the Marines were going to be out there. Then they told the media, no, they won't be out there. And then the Marines were out there. And these checkpoints are ongoing throughout Christmas into the new year. I called one Marine Corps group over the weekend. They answered and said, well, I can't talk about those operations, but yes, we're doing them. You've got to talk to this person. Then that person never called back. Then they said, well, we're not really doing it. Well, we're out there training. Well, yes, we are doing it. So there's been all sorts of going sideways here, basically, is the nicest way to put it, Aaron.
I agree. And it's good you brought that up. One of the side issues is that Gunnery Sergeant Cox claims the Marine operation was a one-time deal only on December 12th. And if it's true that those are ongoing, then that's very deceptive and may be breaking that entrapment clause. I don't know if that's going on.
Well, they certainly are breaking it because they wouldn't tell the media where it was located. Look,
yeah,
they're playing games like we're in Basra and we're an enemy force of Shiites. I mean, they're treating it's just it's military deception, and I'm sick of it. And you know what? Gunnery Sergeant Cox and Humbertston, I don't know why you guys are scared to come on here. They're probably not scared. They've probably been told by higher-ups not to come on.
That's possible. It's never certain, but I'm not sure what kind of public relations officer has to run off for, quote, emergency training after he's agreed to do an interview.
All right. Aaron, call him back. Challenge him to give us their side of the story. It can be two paragraphs, it can be 10 pages, and tell them we will post it unedited, okay?
All right, I will. Thanks, Alex.
Good job. Okay, I appreciate our next guest holding, and we'll go to Ben Holstrom when we get back after this quick break here on the GCN Radio Network. So there you have it, the local newscast, the Marines, the press release from the state police. There are Marines outrunning checkpoints against U.S. citizens, period. Period. It's going on. Stop denying it.
Federal agents, we are armed!
What would you do if you knew all the things we knew? Would you stand up for truth? Or would you turn away too? And then what if you saw all of the things that's wrong? Would you stand tall and strong? Or would you turn it off? What would you do if you?
He's over at the Cactus Thorn blog. He helped get this story out. It is confirmed by the Chip Police, by the Marines. But I wanted to get his take. This is a citizen out in California, there in this county, in San Bernardino County, to give us his take on how the locals are responding to this. The news talk station told us that But around 80% of the calls and emails they were getting are against the Marines out at these checkpoints. What are the locals saying to you on the ground?
Oh, good morning from chilly blue skies in the desert in 29 Palms.
Good morning.
Well, people I talk to are very concerned. And last Saturday, I called the CHP. I'm trying to get a hold of Public Affairs Officer McLeod. And I was told by the dispatcher, you can call him after 1 o'clock. I wanted to know where the checkpoint was going to be. And I said, well, that's public information. She said, call back later. You can get that. I call back at 7 o'clock. I get an answering machine that says you have to call back during regular business hours. So this morning, about a half hour ago, I spoke with Public Affairs Officer McLeod. I asked him what he has to say about a violation of the Constitution of the posse comitatus that some constitutional law experts say is a clear, blatant violation. He says there is no violation of that at all, so they steadfastly hold to that view. I asked him if this is going to be ongoing, and he said, well, they may review if there's enough of a public outcry. But I was told earlier that it was just during the Christmas holidays. I asked the officer what the rules of engagements were for the military in a civilian setting. He said he did not know.
That's right. They're going out to engage the American people, shutting down highways, literally demanding ID, staring at people, violating their Fourth Amendment with no due process, with no presumption of innocence. Napoleonic, guilty until proven innocent. There is literally no probable cause, and they won't even tell you what the rules of engagement are. Now, I've talked to some locals that have told me, but they're scared to come on air. The News Talk station said that the military police were out there, that they do carry firearms, but that his news reporters didn't pay attention to whether they were wearing sidearms or not. In fact, I just remembered, we need to go ahead and call the news station back, and the news director said he would talk to his host, his reporters, and find out. But that is even more important. Did they have firearms out there? Do you have any word on this, Ben?
Well, you mentioned Public Affairs Officer Chief at the Marine Corps Base, Gunny Sergeant Cox. I again spoke with Sergeant Cox this morning. I had a long conversation with him last Friday, and I asked him if the Marines were going to be armed, and the conversation turned towards, he said that this is training only. I asked if it was ongoing. He said it is a one-shot deal just that Saturday. However, he did add that if the opportunity arises and they do have a need to learn from the experts, that is the police, the CHP, that they are going to learn, and as much as they can. I ask what he says about a constitutional violation of the posse comitatus, and the Marines' position is it is not a constitutional violation. Sergeant Cox was very clear this is for training only.
So you're getting a lot of double talk from the supposedly honorable Marines. They promise to come on the show and then say, no, we're not coming on now, and don't give a reason, basically. And then you call up and say, is this a one-shot deal? The press releases say they're going to be out there till the new year. And now they're saying, no, we won't be out there, but maybe we'll be out there if we think we need to go out and train. This is not training. They originally said in the press release this will be assisting the state police and the county police.
Well, I would be interested in knowing what the official CHP position is up in Sacramento, the Sacramento headquarters, if they're aware of this.
Well, Arnold's daddy ran checkpoints picking people up to go to the death camps all over Austria. He was an SS captain, so I'm sure Arnold's all for it, yeah. So, Did you know that about the governor's daddy?
I knew he was an SS officer. I didn't know he was out picking, rounding people up.
No, that's what he did. Yeah, they ran checkpoints.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that.
Hey, this just gets better and better. What comes around goes around. Stay there, my friend. Can you do a few more minutes with us?
Oh, sure.
Okay, stay there. I want to pick your brain a bit more with Ben with the Cactus Thorn blog. Stay with us. The U.S. Marine Corps has overthrown scores of third world nations with the banking cartel. Major General Smedley Butler in line to be the Commandant of the Marine Corps, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, was approached by Prescott Bush, the Harrimans, and others in 1935 to overthrow the United States with the U.S. Marine Corps and bring us in to a new world order. He played along with the plan long enough to find out the details, brought it to Congress. Some of the people got arrested. They had congressional hearings. But Prescott Bush, the Harrimans, and others were too big to take to jail. So they swept it under the rug. Again, we're not against the Marine Corps, but I am against what it's been turned into. And I've been telling you that I've shot video. It's in my Road to Tyranny. It's in Police State 2000. Marines running illegal checkpoints, arresting people, not training, real action. These are covert operations. Now, this operation, no doubt, is to condition the public to accept troops on the streets, and the media has announced that. Secretary of Defense Gates has said the Army and other branches of the service will be out, quote, helping with DWIs, helping at car wrecks, with the jaws of life. So the PR of the Army's here, the Marine Corps is here. They're flying hurt children in car wrecks to the hospital. Why, you're not against flying hurt children to the local medical center, are you? We need troops. Oh, they're helping with the drunks. Oh, they're helping fight insurrection. They're helping fight the American people. That is now officially in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, in the Army's and the Pentagon's own press releases. This is happening. It's un-American. It's dangerous. Talking to Ben, who writes under the pen name Branson Hunter, one of the first to speak out against this. Now it's mainstream news. They're in California, confirmed. We have the press releases by the state police listing the Marines as taking part. Ben, continuing with any other observations you have, anybody else you talk to, and again, specifically what locals are saying.
Oh, okay. Well, I first heard of this from, just a clarification, from Gary Daniel, his talk show, Z1077 FM. That's where I first heard about it, and I did a little research and blogged it, and people are not happy about this. It doesn't matter, you know, what side of the political fence that they are on. Many people I've speak to said it's going to be extremely intimidating. And one of the questions that I have is the rules of engagement for the military. You know, you can see different scenarios out there. In California, we have the two strikes and you're out. If a person has two felony convictions, the third time it's life. So, you know, if there's criminals out there driving a stolen car, or if they're wanted, they are not going to come easy. So, if there's a fracas out there, is the military going to go to the aid of the CHP? I would think so. You know, what if there's a firefight? That happens. You know, Alex, there's another thing I think you would want to know about. Can I tell you about that?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, actually, it's two things. The U.S. Marine Corps base, Marine Corps Air and Ground Combat Center, they have 598 1,400 acres. It's the largest Marine Corps base in the world. Now they've got word from the Pentagon that they're going to expand 400,000 more acres. At the present time, 29 Palms Marine Base is five times the size of Camp Pendleton. This is rumor only. It's been floating around for a couple of years that Camp Pendleton is looking to close down. They may close down, or they're reconnoitering about the possibility of doing that because of the extreme costs for the leases. If so, they could possibly move out here to 29 Palms. The Marine Corps Air Base at Miramar, this has been floating around for about 3 years. It is going to be moving up here. Whether that's true or not, I do not know. But we're all aware of that Marine jet that fell from the sky and landed on a house in San Diego, killing four people, including one small child. I don't think the Marine PR people here are really in the loop in terms of knowing what's going on, what's coming down from the Pentagon.
Well, I agree with you. Listen, they can spin this all day and claim, well, we want to stop drunk Marines on the road. You know, don't you want to stop drunks? We don't need the Army. We don't need the Navy. We don't need the Marine Corps, the Air Force on the streets of the U.S. And I remember a decade ago getting footage from a listener and then calling and confirming that in San Antonio, in downtown San Antonio, and this has happened many times, they have military police from the Air Force out writing tickets, arresting U.S. citizens. They call the police over. They then aid them. And we had it on video, and then I would call the Air Force base, and they'd say, no, they're only out there looking for drunk military people. But then we had the footage of them actually going after citizens, and that was later confirmed. So there's a lot of deception involved in all of this. And if people forget, it was in 2002, and the papers in North Carolina all reported on it. WorldNet Daily reported on it. It's in my film Road to Tyranny. The articles, we mentioned it briefly, but we should pull that up and repost that and point out one of the other dangers. In one of these drills they were doing around North Carolina, of the military practicing to take over local cities, in two separate cases, in one drill, one guy was shot, one guy was shot and killed. The U.S. Special Forces came up on police at checkpoints and tried to disarm the police, thinking they were part of the drill, and the officer shot and killed one of them. In another case, only wounded the Special Forces person that was being tested. So the point is, this drilling in the streets is dangerous, even if it's a drill. But they're admitting this isn't a drill. This is the Marines out, quote, assisting with the local sheriff's department and state police. And we know the government wants to get rid of that membrane, that wall, that bulkhead, that separation between the military and police. We know they've militarized the police. They call themselves a paramilitary force. Mayors, governors, city council, police, firemen call us civilians. They've changed that nomenclature, and the police don't know why that's happened. Let me tell you, they're getting you ready to go under federal control, as is spoken of in PDD 51, and now the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, and of course, the new Pentagon directive by Gates put out 3 weeks ago on November 24th that clearly states the governors are now under federal control. So this is just absolutely off the charts. Tell folks about your blog, because you did a great report, made a lot of phone calls, made a lot of great points, did a lot of research. We might want to have you write about national issues at Infowars.com. You're the kind of guy we're looking for, Ben, writing under the name Branson Hunter. I apologize for not using your pen name, because I really like the report you did that I saw reposted on another blog. So again, we just commend you.
Well, thanks, Alex. Well, the blog has been around for quite some years. It's run and operated by it's a host blog by a local communications engineer, and I think about 8 or 9 months ago he decided to open that up, where anyone can have their own blog there. I mean,
No, that's good. Tell us your blog address, please.
Okay, it's 29 Palms. Well, excuse me. It's vote29palms.com, and that will give you the host blog. If you just scroll down, you can find it there.
You'll find the Cactus Thorn blog. But I mean, you did first class reporting, made the calls, posted the link to Posse Comitatus. Gave people the feeling of what was happening locally, and also reported on the local news talk station doing that. So if you ever want to submit any articles to Infowars.com with a link back to your blog page, Ben, writing under Branson Hunter, we would love to work with you, because I really love the first-class job you did, and we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
Okay, Alex, just a couple of quick more things. Can I point something out to you?
Sure. While you're doing that, go ahead and get my next guest on just to the network. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Part of the expansion is the Marine Corps is building a combat city covering 280 acres. That's roughly the size of San Diego. It's going to feature an Olympic-sized soccer stadium, hospitals, airport, a large marketplace, prisons, police compounds, schools, industrial centers, extensive underground tunnel systems, and two embassies.
Oh, yes. This is your concentration camp angle that you cover on your blog. And, of course, KBR, Kellogg Brown and Root, admits that they've built $500 million worth of new camps. They've refurbished the old World War II camps right outside Austin. They have one. These have all been reopened. It's been in the Houston Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, Chicago Tribune. The public is still in denial. And now the Marines can lie or be deceptive, like with lawyer doublespeak, and say, well, you know, this is for overseas, but yes, it is dual training. But I've been to the urban warfare training in cities on video. Most of the training is for the United States. In the mock interrogations I videotaped in Oakland, in California, they were saying, "Where are you from?" "I'm from San Francisco." "Where'd you get the helmet? Where'd you get the weapons?" They were practicing fighting the American people. Go ahead and finish your point.
Another issue on this expansion is there's a public outcry in what's called Wonder Valley. It's just right outside of 29 Palms East. East of 29 Palms, Wonder Valley, it's open desert for 115 miles. So Wonder Valley, there are a lot of old residents there, and that just butts right up against the southern portion of the Marine Corps base.
I understand, but the issue here is what's going on with this bizarre facility they're building. I'm told it looks like a sports stadium.
Well, it's a full-size Olympic soccer stadium. What is that for?
Well, they use those in Iraq as re-education centers. No, I'm not kidding, sir.
The American people should be concerned about that. And
Let me stop you. The Marines have been doing
their combat training over residential homes outside of the base, and they're flying very low helicopters over people's houses. And,
no, they're aggressively letting everybody know they're in control. Under NORTHCOM, we are now a military jurisdiction. And for those in closing that don't know, we're going to have you back on again about this because I need to go to another guest, and this is so important. I'd forgotten to get to that facet of this whole story. They are practicing to take over the United States. They are in top-off drill 1 and 2. Top-off 2 was in Denver. They practice using the Denver Broncos stadium as a mass detainment facility for the American people. We saw what they did at the Superdome in New Orleans with the gun confiscation, so you're absolutely right. Please get us some video and photos of these and post them on your blog. We would love to link to them. And again, I'll be in contact. We'll have you back up for a part 2, okay?
Okay. Well, thanks for all your efforts and your work. We really appreciate that.
Well, Ben, if you've got more to say, I don't have any guests on in the last hour. Do you want me to call you back the last 10 minutes of the show to finish up with the FEMA camp?
Oh sure. Actually, I do have more to say if you have time.
Okay. Well, we'll call you back in an hour and a half, okay?
Okay. Bye.
All right. Thank you. There he goes. Again, confirm Marines running checkpoints all over that county in California and then getting very belligerent with us after they promised to come on and then refusing. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, for the rest of this hour, and then we have Wayne Madsen coming up, and we're going to get into how close we came to war with India and Pakistan. George Bush drunk in the White House, the police state. He formerly worked for the NSA. That's coming up. But I wanted to bring up the balance of this hour, Steve Shank, the J. Michael Stevens Group, the longest continually operating storable foods company in the nation, almost 28 years, where I've chosen to get my storable food. No MSG, no GMO. Highest quality. There's a lot of fly-by-nighters. Folks, you want to get it from this source. This is who we vetted, who we believe in, and they have the best price because they are the biggest bulk manufacturer, producer of the food, so they can give you the best deal. I mean, a lot of storable foods companies actually buy their food from the J. Michael Stevens Group. With so much happening in the world and with what's happening with the economy and all these Ponzi schemes going on with the bankers and the brokerage firms. Now, more than ever, don't wait. We need to get prepared and self-sufficient to take care of our families. He also has great water filtration systems, preparedness videos, and so much more at efoodsdirect.com, the letter E, foodsdirect.com. And he also is our biggest sponsor and makes this show possible. So we like to have him up every few weeks. Steve, thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, I'm glad to be aboard, Alex. How you been?
And busier than a one-legged man in a you-know-what contest.
Or a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'll tell you what. Well, I tell tell you what, Alex, the food issue is continuing to escalate. One of the things that a lot of people are being lulled to sleep over is the gas prices are going down. Everyone had assumed that that would affect food prices because of transportation costs and things.
But the news reports food is skyrocketing.
Absolutely. They are not connected. In fact, the gas issues, another prediction, either after the holidays or at minimum after the election or after the inauguration, we will see gas prices skyrocketing even worse than they did before.
I hope you're wrong about that, but most analysts agree. But according to our sources, that's not going to be the case, but regardless, the economy itself is in cardiac arrest.
Well, absolutely, and you know, this Salente came out and made the statement that by 2012 we'll have food rioting.
Now he's revised that. He's saying by bank runs by next year, and go ahead.
And very, very probably we will have food rioting in various parts of the country sooner than that, because right now we're very close to between 35 and 40% of the population, when they go to the grocery store, have to decide whether to buy food or to pay their other bills that are required of them. It's getting very, very serious. One of the things that we had done, and we announced this on your program to begin with, Alex, is this reinstatement of the holiday supply this year, which has more food in it and is a better price, significantly less expensive than half the cost of last year's groceries, and people are ordering those like crazy. One of the things with the cash flow in families being so severely hampered at this point, and in their extended families, what we've just implemented, and we wanted to announce it today just so that people would be aware of it, is a layaway program where people can set aside food while it's available. One of the things, you know, in most store situations and layaways, you set it aside so you can make monthlies on it and break the cost of it down. Well, that's of extreme value to people, but more important right now is being able to tie up the food, more food with less money. Everyone that is ordering food right now tells us that if they could afford it, they would really like to order much more than what they're ordering. So we've implemented a 30-day, 90-day, and 6-month layaway program where people can break the cost of it down. But more important, if they have enough funds for one-year supply, they can now lay away 3 of them and with that same amount of money, and then break the cost of it down over the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and 6 months. This is going to be a real boon to people being able to tie up food. It's almost like getting an option, but you still own the food and get it shipped out as soon as it's
efoodsdirect.com, the letter E, foodsdirect.com, big banners on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. If you forget the site, we'll come back, give you the phone number, and tell you about some of the food packages they've got and how high quality this food is. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Wayne Madsen coming up, talking to Steve Shank of the J. Michael Stevens Group, eFoodsDirect.com. Steve, before we run out of time, tell folks about the food itself, and specifically what they're getting, and then give them a phone number.
Okay. The food is dried, of course, but it's exactly the same food that you're eating every day. The fruits and vegetables, dairy products and all. The only difference is that none of it is genetically altered and none of it's imported from Mexico or particularly China. And the fact is that you can't get any E. coli or salmonella poisoning from it for the simple reason that it's dried and it's completely safe. But the main thing is that you cook with this just like you would straight out of the garden. And it's just food that you are used to eating. And the main difference is that if you go on the food and start using it right now, which we hadn't told people to do, Alex, in the past, but if they start using it right now, this can be a major factor in making it financially right now for a high percentage of our population.
People who bought it when food was a lot less, they can now use the food.
Absolutely. And people that are buying it right now are buying it for half the cost of what they'd have to pay for groceries. But the A 800 number for those that aren't computer savvy is 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. And on the web, it's efoodsdirect.com. And there's plenty of information, instructions, and guidance and support for the people that are trying to put their families together and keep them together during these hard times.
And there's a bunch of videos, by the way, about the food and the quality, the type of foods there are, the different packages available up on efoodsdirect.com. You can also send people out if they call an audio CD or a brochure. Give them that number again, Steve.
It's 800-409-5633. And that will get through to people that will send out packets for those that aren't on the computers. Those of you that are on the computers can get all the information you need right there.
And I would just put this out for the listeners. I really do believe in having firearms to protect yourself and knowing how to use them. I do believe in precious metals. I do believe in storable foods. I do believe in water filters. And in your little two-month boogie pack, I know the one you sent me that we keep here at the office, that I have more than 3 years' supply of food for my whole family now and several purchases I've done, and I've also bought food for family. And again, I shopped around. That's how I found the J. Michael Stevens Group years ago. I did my own research, and I'd ordered from some other places that had MSG in it or other things, and I was like, oh, God, I didn't know what I was doing. You don't have that with the J. Michael Stevens Group and efoodsdirect.com. It's insurance. It's insurance that you know you'll use because it's high quality, freeze dried and dehydrated food. It's huge amounts of food per can, per container. So it stores in very small areas. More than 10 years in climate controlled, 10 years in non climate controlled if you're like me and have it in the garage and attic. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, you need to call. You need to get involved. Now, what's that package I got from you that has the little cook stove and the water filters, too? I mean, that's really inexpensive and high quality.
Well, what that is that's the accessory pack that goes with the two-month grab-and-go kit. Any of the folks that order three of those get one of those free, but it's got the stove. You see, with the grab-and-go, all you have to do is add water and heat, and that little accessory kit that we sent you is what you have to add the water and the heat, no problem.
And again, everybody. I mean, I literally have grab-and-goes at my house. I have them here at the office because, and I've got a 45 sitting right here, too. Because I'm not going to be caught flat-footed. At least I'm going to try to be prepared. The government stockpiled food. They've got underground bunkers. They believe they need it. Why haven't they told the people to do it? Well, now they are. They're saying have a week of food and water. That's just so they can claim they warned you later. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never stand on the bread line if you have your own bread. Don't end up like New Orleans and other places. With all the craziness happening, you need to go to foodsdirect.com or call the toll-free number, and you will talk to an American. You will talk to somebody at their company. You will talk to, won't talk to somebody in India. Give them that number again, Steve.
800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633.
And if people order now, you're shipping out in like a week, aren't you?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, sir. Thank you.
Take care, Alex.
You bet. EFoodsDirect.com. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up in the fourth hour today, we will go live at PrisonPlanet.tv in the new studio. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv member, just go to the main page. There's a big fat link to watch the live show. I'm going to get Paul Watson and Kurt Nimmo to go ahead and add links to that page where people can enter their username and passcode and watch it, because even my wife was having some trouble finding it the other day. I mean, it's not that hard to find, but you got to look around for it, so I want to make that more prominent. And coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to be doing 2, 3, 4, 5 hours going into overdrive here live with Tex Mars and Jim Mars coming in this week in studio, and a lot of other folks in studio here with us as well. But for the next hour, I'm always honored to be joined by Wayne Madsen. Did work for the NSA and other agencies. A lot of times when you're watching C-SPAN and there's a national security hearing, you'll see Wayne Madsen there reporting in the background. And there's a whole host of things that have developed since I had him on a few months ago. We'll see where the D.C. Madam murder case left off. Clearly a murder. He was working with her and exposing things that were happening, and she had been worried about being killed. We'll look at George Bush and his drunkenness. We'll look at what really happened with India and Pakistan. He's had a bunch of other reports dealing with the whole police state unfolding. Wayne Madsen, in this short segment, tell us what's coming up in the interview. What's most important on your front burner right now over at the WayneMadsenReport.com?
Well, we've got these revelations from a Justice Department whistleblower named Thomas Tam, who was whose house was invaded by the FBI last year. He wasn't home, but they interrogated his wife and his kids. It's very reminiscent of how the FBI treated the Fort Detrick scientist, Bruce Ivins. But Tam is the guy who leaked the story to the New York Times about the illegal NSA wiretapping. We now know the classified code name, which was only known to a handful of people in the Bush administration. It was called Stellar Wind. And now we've got the Newsweek article with a lot of details out on that. So that's a major, development, because this was an illegal surveillance program, and this was the subject of what John Ashcroft in his hospital room refused to sign off on it. So that's a major development.
Let's get back into the Ivins case as well. I mean, that even mainstream media was saying it looked like a setup or some type of cover-up. Let's start there and then go into break first. Looking at the anthrax, the whole anthrax story of the White House on Cipro September 10th and their enemies being melded and claiming Muslims did it, but then it did come from Fort Detrick, and they tried to frame two or three people, Hatfield and another guy before him, reminiscent of Richard Jewell.
Oh, it's very, yeah, I mean, the whole thing, they try to paint Ivins as some sort of a lunatic, when in fact he was the guy who seemed like he was on to the case more so than the FBI was. And they try to say he was some sort of anti-abortionist, and that was his motivation. Then we find out he was a donor to Planned Parenthood. He voted for Democrats. So he's anything but what the FBI spinmeisters tried to paint him as. And I'd say his the whole situation with Ivins is very very strange. And I don't buy for 1 minute what the FBI had to say about him. And
why so desperate? Why so desperate to set up a patsy?
Well, I think obviously the FBI is a long history of that type of thing. As you mentioned, Richard Jewell. We could go back to Lee Harvey Oswald. We want to talk about patsies, and this is just what the FBI seems to do best. Because I don't think of the FBI as a law enforcement agency. I think they're more of a political enforcement agency.
They're more of a Praetorian guard.
Yeah, I would like the Gestapo and the KGB and the Stasi in East Germany. That's basically where, they crack a couple of cases, but their primary reason for existence, I believe, is political suppression and political payback.
That is at the upper echelons and in those different divisions. They certainly have other divisions that deal with money laundering and things like that, but certainly they've also been going after a lot of Democratic governors. Stay there. We'll be right back with our guest.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Wayne Madsen's a prominent member of Investigative Reporters and Editors. He's also a member of the Association for Intelligence Officers, member of the National Press Club and the Society of Professional Journalists. And he's worked for the NSA and other clandestine government agencies. I want to talk some today with him about reports I'm seeing that now two-thirds of intelligence gathering, I've seen this in the New York Times and a few other places, is being done by private contractors and how they can much more easily cover up illegal activities. He's also been reporting on classified National Security Agency intelligence electronic surveillance program codenamed Revealed, thanks to the Justice Department whistleblower. It's now known as Stellar Wind. And the fact that it's come out that they're not just listening to U.S. citizens, they're listening to people's phone sex, and everybody gathers around and has a big joke. And, of course, they wouldn't put that on the news unless they wanted you to know. They're listening to you to have a chilling effect. So Bush lying a few years ago and saying, we don't listen to anybody without warrants. And then, we only listen to bin Laden. And then we only listen to Al-Qaeda. And then we only listen to basically everybody. And so we'll get into the latest on the NSA, which doesn't appear to be cutting back. It looks like it's going to expand under Mr. Obama, and Mr. Gates is staying on with him. But let's continue with the case of Ivins, Carnaby, the case of course, Deborah Jean Palfrey, because you even flew to Houston to work on the Carnaby case. Let's look back at some of the past reports you've done on people being set up, people being killed, people being murdered, and why was Carnaby executed by the police?
Well, it's quite clear that Carnaby had access to, or had in his possession, information. Now, we know that the police, one of their primary goals in, after they shot and killed Carnaby, was to obtain his laptop computer. Now, it's quite apparent there was something on that laptop that was of great interest to the Houston police and possibly to a foreign intelligence service, which Carnaby really had his sights on. Was very concerned about the security of the port of Houston. And what he normally would do is he had the ability to download still photos and also videotapes from cameras positioned around the port of Houston. He'd download them over his BlackBerry, and then he would store them on his laptop computer. So there was obviously something, whether it was the photos or some information, that somebody wanted to get their hands on, and obviously they did. There was also a broken chain of custody, I should say. The Houston Police Department had that laptop for a certain amount of time. Then they gave it to the Secret Service, and then the Secret Service apparently gave it back to the Houston Police Department. So here we had a broken chain of custody on something critically important.
Getting back into Deborah Jean Palfrey, I mean, clearly murdered, telling myself, you, a lot of other people, that if I am killed, it's not suicide. Her condo manager saying that she told them, I'm going to be back in a few days with the rest of my stuff. I think people are following me. If anything happens to me, I've been murdered. I mean, and then she goes to her mother's shed with her ill mother and kills herself by her mother. I mean, that's not her MO, not her style. And they have
right.
some weird crime reporter pop up and say, oh, she told me she was going to kill herself with no record of that. And then we looked at the handwriting, and I mean, just on its face, nothing matched.
Well, we had another suspicious death just a few weeks ago here in Washington, the Washington area. A girl named Wantissa Hill, who was a second-class yeoman in the U.S. Navy, was the yeoman for the Chief of Naval Operations, was found brutally murdered, and the police are calling it murder, a very violent murder in her apartment in Alexandria, Virginia. Now, why is that important? Because in April, right before she committed suicide, quote-unquote, Jean Palfrey submitted a letter, a filing to the court here in Washington, D.C., which named several people as clients. And among those was an individual named Ron Roughhead. Ron Roughhead's brother is Admiral Gary Roughhead, who was the Chief of Naval Operations, who Wantissa Hill was working for.
No.
Wantissa Hill would have had access to all of Admiral Roughhead, the Chief of Naval Operations, personal correspondence, including, we also had recently, all the Navy dropped all charges and allowed Rebecca Dickinson, who was one of Palfrey's employees, she had a job at the U.S. Naval Academy. She was named in April as one of the clients of Jean Palfrey, but she was allowed to retire as a lieutenant commander with full benefits and no legal action taken against her by
now,
the
for
US
those
Navy.
That don't live around Maryland, I see these reports all the time. The head of the state police caught running the hookers into the government offices, murders of hookers, murders of investigators, murders of police. I mean, I guess the hookers supplying the elite is really a big business, and it looks like what the police are the delivery boys. I mean, give folks some of the rundown of what's happening there.
Well, we just had Mitchell Wade, who was the head of a defense contractor, MZM. He did a deal with the government. He just got 30 months, and he's going to be allowed to keep most of the money he made as a result of bribing former congressman and now jail congressman Randy Duke Cunningham. But Mitchell Wade was involved in all this business activity with the poker parties at the Watergate that involved former CIA director Porter Goss Cunningham, where Shirlington Limousine would traffic around these prostitutes, these escorts. And it's quite clear that these escorts included escorts working for Pamela Martin and Associates, Gene Palfrey's company. And so we have a lot of things coming together here. Rebecca Dickinson being allowed to retire, Wade being, you know, basically getting a 30-month jail sentence, but probably at a club fed and able to keep most of his ill-gotten gain. It looks like the fix is in. Admiral Roughhead's yeoman being violently killed. What did she have access to as far as any deal made between the CNO's office and allowing Dickinson to retire? As you mentioned, Ed Norris, who was the superintendent of the Maryland State Police, was indicted by the U.S. Attorney of Maryland. Incidentally, he was one of the first U.S. attorneys fired after George W. Bush's reelection. We have a connection right into the office of then Republican Governor of Maryland, Bob Ehrlich. And this is what the U.S. attorney was focused on. Now, why is it that Stellar Wind, I mean, NSA is in Maryland. It's a stone's throw away from the governor's mansion in Annapolis and from Baltimore. Why is it that Stellar Wind wasn't used to indict Bob Ehrlich, the Republican governor, but it seems to have been used to go after New York Governor Elliot Spitzer for something very similar, as we know, and also Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, let's stop right there, and Wayne Madsen, and talk about the way the NSA snooping system is being used. Now, I'm no defender of the Illinois governor. He has the National Guard out doing gun sweeps door-to-door. You can't make this up. We can play his press conference. Obviously a corrupt guy, but that's par for the course in Illinois and Chicago, you know, famous for that. I'm not defending it. I'm a nonpartisan here. And folks, you know, I'm more of a Ron Paul type, conservative or libertarian. But absolutely, you have him coming out saying the state's going to break off business with Bank of America. And then one day later this happens. We have Spitzer going after the big brokerage firms engaging in scams before this huge scandal even breaks. They go after him, and the FBI, is basically surveilling all of these governors and knows the minute they do something wrong, and then hammers them. When you get other governors that can basically get away with bloody murder, Republican or Democrat, as long as they play ball. So, who exactly is the NSA and the FBI that's being fed the info without warrants? And then once they find something, they go and get a warrant. How is this being used? And politically, who and why are they going after folks?
Well, I can give you a personal example of it. I wrote that New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who was trying to negotiate with North Korea to avoid a potential war with them over their nuclear program, Governor Bill Richardson was calling quite frequently and receiving calls from then Secretary of State Colin Powell. Now, I found out that Richardson was being targeted by this illegal NSA wiretapping program. Now, Richardson read that article, and his chief of staff called me and said, he knew it, you're the first one to report on it. And I said, well, I mean, it's not just Richardson, I'm afraid, but this is the name that was given to me. And then I actually met Governor Richardson during the campaign, and he said, you know, he just put his finger in my chest and said, you know, you were right about that. And so again, here's a Democratic governor, Bill Richardson. Obviously, the neocons did not want him to be involved in this back channel negotiation with North Korea, but it was sanctioned by Secretary of State Powell at the time. But now we know that John Bolton, who was working for Powell at the State Department, who was opposed to any peace deal with North Korea, was the guy who was basically involved in not only eavesdropping or involved in ordering NSA to eavesdrop on Richardson, but also eavesdropping on his boss, Colin Powell. This is political misuse of NSA system. No court order, a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. It's a violation. It's a violation of the wiretap provisions. And the mere fact that Obama is, I understand, entertaining keeping General Hayden as the director of CIO of the CIA. Remember that General Hayden was the director of NSA when this illegal wiretapping was going on. The mere fact that Obama is thinking about keeping paid an ad CIA director, a guy who could be criminally charged, tells me that, you know, and as far as that's concerned, there's not much change in the Obama administration. If he keeps a guy who was involved in a criminal activity as CIA director, that says that Obama is aiding and abetting in a criminal act, and he's subject to impeachment himself.
That's right. The corrupt party just continues to roll on, and it's a system of fear where everybody's spying on everybody. Talk about a Nixon enemies list. And we know Bill Clinton had one. We know Bush had one, both Bushes. But this is an enemies list on steroids. And this is how the private brokerage firms and banks in control of the government are able to terrorize the rest of the government, the media, and everybody else into going along with them, because the system itself knows they're being surveilled. If you have a question about clandestine surveillance, the police state, government corruption at the highest levels, where they're spying on each other and blackmailing each other, Wayne Madsen is the guy to talk to, formerly with the National Security Agency. 1-800-259-9231. We will be opening the phones coming up in the next segment. Didn't get to your calls in the first hour, but new callers are welcome to call in at 1-800-259-9231. Next hour, I'm going to cover a bunch of news that we haven't even gotten into yet on a host of issues, like the federal government and a whole bunch of other medical doctors saying we should just put the whole public on psychotropics and, quote, other brain-boosting drugs like Ritalin. I mean, the pharmaceutical companies are just openly becoming drug dealers to the entire population, so we'll talk about that as well. Wayne, it came out, as you know, that the NSA has whole floors at every major telecommunications company, or whole sectors, and now their own whistleblowers are saying, oh, yeah, we sit around listening to people having phone sex and you know, making recordings of it and laughing at it, and this is all just being thrown in our face, and then nobody goes to jail, nobody gets in trouble. I mean, where is this going?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it looks like this this program has been around before 9/11. We had the former chairman of Quest, the phone company, Richard Naccio, state that in February of 2001, right after Bush came to office, the NSA wanted him to participate in a warrantless wiretapping, and he said that's illegal. And of course, he refused. He was the only head of a phone company to refuse. Of course, AT&T and the others on Verizon all complied, but Naccio then found himself the subject of a criminal investigation for insider trading.
But the Telecommunications Act of the Telecommunications Act, as you know, of 96, ordered the phone companies to put the snooping hubs in. They just told them, don't worry, we're not going to use it.
Right. That was the CALEA Act. It was Communications Assistance to Law Enforcement Act. And of course, we were all told in the privacy community at the time that, no, this would only, this would be a court order, would be required. Well, we know that that was nothing more than a bunch of, you know, hokum. And, but, you know, we now know that the Bush administration wanted these powers to listen to phone sex, as you said, and you know, all this other type of thing, you know. And I say, as I say with the fishing expedition, this was always the problem, fishing expeditions. You know, if you listen to somebody long enough, you're probably got to get them on something. And, you know, where do you draw? I asked one veteran Democrat, former senator, I said, now where do you draw the line between hardball politics, Chicago, Illinois style, and corruption, like we see with, you know, in the Blagojevich case? And he said, there is no line. if you're a good prosecutor, we all know a prosecutor can, you know, a good prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich, as they say. These fishing expeditions can result in indictments for anyone just because if they're opposed to the administration at the time.
Enemies list. I mean, this goes far beyond that. From your research, who is really in control of the NSA? I guess it's all the same people that were put in by Bush, and Obama is going along with all of it because I guess they've got all the Chicago dirt on him, and he will play ball.
Well, if they've got anything on him, obviously that could be used to blackmail him, and I think that's the, you know, the fear is, you know, Why would he want to keep General Hayden around, who was the longest-serving NSA director, 7 years at the NSA, then deputy director of national intelligence under Mr. Death Squad, John Negroponte, and now he's over at the CIA. I mean, this guy has a charmed existence. He apparently, even Hayden, even had it out with Robert Gates. Gates apparently didn't like the fact that he was wearing an Air Force uniform and forced him to retire from the Air Force over there. So
I know it's ridiculous. That little, that soft little monkey loves to get up at the NSA and the CIA in a general's outfit. I mean, talk about police state. I mean, they're just throwing it in our face. And now I'll be watching FEMA on C-SPAN, and half the guys in attendance and the deputy director are in their former military uniforms. I mean, they're really, really showing us we're under a military dictatorship.
Oh, it's amazing. I remember when Jimmy Carter became president, one of the things he did is he limited uniforms in Washington to one day a week in public. He said the rest of the time he didn't want people to come to the nation's capital and see a lot of people in uniform. He thought that gave the wrong impression. And Carter was, you know, I mean, he was ex-Navy himself, a submarine commander, but he thought that was a bad signal to send. And of course, when Reagan got in there, we all, you know, everyone went back into uniform.
Well, it's because in third world countries, everybody's in a uniform, and it's the same thing here now, where FEMA's a bunch of guys in uniform, and the military's working with the police. I want to get your breakdown on the 20,000 combat troops, what Gates is going to do, saying they're to suppress the American people. That's not even being debated now. Marines out running checkpoints for DWI now on the nation's highways. What are they planning from the inside scoop with your ear to the ground there in D.C.? Wayne Madsen, WayneMadsenReport.com. Instead of myself just throwing out questions here before we go to calls, any other key news stories or issues you want to cover after you answer the question about the full militarization of police, merging them with the military, Marines all over the country, we've confirmed, running checkpoints at DWI, the Army to be on the streets of America, all of this unfolding. So let's get into that, and then the subject of two-thirds of the illegal intelligence gathering here in the U.S., they're now reporting being done by private contractors with no oversight.
Well, I kind of saw this coming up several years back, right after 9/11. I noticed something very rare here in Washington, the presence of military people in uniform, but not just any uniform, combat uniforms. These were, you know, Army and these BDUs, you know, for jungle, with the jungle design, the desert design, the different urban design, Air Force officers wearing their flight suits. I mean, I can guarantee you they didn't have their jet fighters parked in the Pentagon parking lot. There was this massive show of force that you see them on the metro, on the subway here. You saw them on buses walking around town, and I found out that was you know, a psyop to let people know, you know, we're in a state of war. Well, these were the neocons putting that out, people like Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and Feith and that bunch over at the Pentagon at the time. And then something I noticed that was very, very unusual, and it certainly wasn't even the case during the Reagan administration, foreign military officers wearing their uniforms. And you saw everything, Colombian, Polish, Ukrainian, every kind of uniform in the world, but they never in the past were authorized.
And it's all part, now they admit, as you said, it's to acclimate. I remember a story 3 years ago in the BBC, if memory serves, but I know it was in the British press, that they were ordered by Blair to start wearing their uniforms and to be visible. So this is clearly, now they admit, the Army troops and National Guard at the Kentucky Derby and at bowling championships and at boxing championships and at the Super Bowl and then high school games and college games and Alabama Defense Forces and other state guards searching three-year-old children's purses. We have photos and video of that, all training us to live under military rule, and now they admit what we predicted. Oh, we're going to live under a military system now, and we were going to put 20,000 to start with. It was 5,000 a few months ago. Now it's 20,000. troops on the streets of America. What are you hearing on the inside track there in D.C.? What are you hearing with your ear to the ground of what this is really for?
Well, I mean, we know that FEMA has been chomping at the bit to, you know, see some event take place where they could roll out all their fancy hardware and personnel. I think it's seriously what I've heard and from people in Congress. We've heard that term martial law used quite a bit. What's going on in Greece right now is much more than what the corporate media is saying. It's protests over the police shooting a teenage boy.
It's over people not being able to get their money out of the banks. It's over the economy being dead.
Right. This is a full-scale insurrection in a European Union country. Remember, Greece is the cradle of democracy, and that insurrection is sweeping the country, and the main government stepped down. And we saw this already happen in Thailand. That had a lot to do with the economy there. We've seen riots break out, sympathy riots in Europe. For Greece, break out in France, Spain, Denmark, Germany, and other countries. I think this is what they're concerned about, because if they devalue the dollar, as there's some talk, can you imagine the march on the Federal Reserve Building here in Washington? I just pinpointed where the chairman's office is. It's right on Constitution Avenue. It's the office to the left of the main entryway. So, you know, if I were Mr. Bernanke, I see what's going on in Greece, Europe, and other countries, I'd be casting a wary eye to Constitution Avenue these days.
Well, absolutely. A lot of trends forecasters like Gerald Celente and others are saying that they believe that this is basically orchestrated, as we've seen the IMF and World Bank in their own documents brag that they cut off liquidity, implode economies. When they engineer the crisis, they then pose as the savior and then get the nations to accept basically nationalization of everything, which is then handed over to a select group of offshore banks. And we've now seen hundreds of news articles, including the Financial Times of London last Tuesday, saying, yes, it's a new world order. It's world government. You're going to buy your carbon credits from the banks. You're going to pay your taxes to the banks. Everything is going to be owned by these private banks, and the military is going to enforce it. I mean, they're openly admitting we've had a coup, and so whether you love Obama or hate him, you know, it's all a distraction, because the point is he's keeping all the same people, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, I mean, being neutral on it. Clearly, yeah. He knows they're still in control, so he's leaving the same apparatus in there, and they're just continuing on down the road.
Well, it's like this hedge fund guy, Bernie Madoff, up in New York, $50 billion Ponzi scheme. And they're trying, first of all, the SEC did not investigate him, even though they received several tips that this guy was a criminal. They decided to look the other way. Well, the SEC chairman is former California Republican Congressman Christopher Cox, and he has been lambasted by many members of Congress as being an ineffective SEC chairman. Well, now we know why. He was aiding and abetting in all these criminal schemes, and I think it defies logic what they're saying, that Madoff pulled this $50 billion heist off the moon. He obviously had accomplices, and I'd like to I'd like to see the FBI rather than shake for Tom Tam for releasing the illegal wiretap information. Why don't they start shaking down people like Madoff's buddies and Chris Cox over at the SEC?
So where do you see it going in the future? And then finish the question after you talk about where you see this going in the future, where your colleagues see this going in the future, with what exactly the two-thirds of the intelligence being gathered by private groups, what they're up to, and how there could ever be any oversight of that.
Well, this is, you know, Hayden was the guy who really promoted this outsourcing at NSA. He had a couple of programs that were got into cost overruns, were complete failures, but they were basically outsourcing programs. They were called Trailblazer and Groundbreaker, just a big waste of money, but it did enrich his friends in companies like SAIC and one particular company, Khaki. That's the company that was involved. You know, they were the ones who sued Randy Rhodes, because she said, you know, these guys were involved in the torture in Iraq, and they sued her. She won that suit. That was a frivolous lawsuit. It was a slap suit just to try to silence her. But anyway, Khaki has some interesting ties to the Israeli government. Now, the idea that a company like that could have its fingers inside the NSA, which is the Fort Knox of intelligence, they have all the intercepts, for example, is just mind-boggling, and it's very, very worrisome. But we do know that Blackwater has a subsidiary, Total Information Systems, which is pushing this concept of privatized intelligence gathering, and they have a lot of people who like that idea. One in particular is the former Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Peter Hoekstra from Michigan, who really championed this cause of private intelligence gathering. Now, since the Democrats took over the House, we don't hear much about that anymore, but don't worry, Hoekstra is now apparently going to run for governor of Michigan. He may have his eyes set on higher office, so, you know, here's a guy to keep a very close eye on. He promoted this privatization of intelligence. Of course, when you privatize it, Congress loses effective control over it, and so do the IGs and so do the auditors.
Wayne, let's go to some phone calls now and see what the callers want to bring up. Let's talk to Tom in Illinois. Tom, you're on the air with Wayne Madsen. Yeah, you're on the air, Tom, if you'd like to talk. Okay, let's let him go. Let's talk to Leo in Mass. Leo, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. With all the economic indicators we're getting now, I think our main failing is, as in that old movie, we have here a failure to communicate. And so I would like to see us get together, like a simple little 10-point plan geared to people in the different living conditions, i.e. city, suburb, country, where we can individually, in our own little way, stop these suckers. I've yet to see that. I would like to see, you know, a bunch of you guys, Colonel Roberts and others, get together a plan and publicize it and have it up in the water coolers. That will stop these guys cold, really.
Well, you know, I've tried to get together everything I can. I'm doing about as much as I can. I put out all sorts of plans and ideas and issues. How about we restore the Bill of Rights and Constitution? How about we bring the foreign owners of the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England to justice for engineering the derivative scam, the giant Ponzi scheme that they have set up in mass? How about we stop the warrantless wiretapping? And people say, oh, well, who cares if they spy on us without warrants? And then I explain to people, this is used to tyrannize the government itself and keep it in line, the watchers watching the watchers. This is designed to bring in tyranny. People go, oh, well, tyranny's cute and funny. No, it's not cute and funny. It's about stealing your pension funds. It's about oppressing the general public. See, the public was partially sold that, oh, well, this is to fight Al-Qaeda. But again, historically, it's all directed at us. This is a foreign group criminally raping and looting our entire society. And so we have to get back to our basic Bill of Rights, which is designed to protect us from falling into tyranny, which 99% of other countries and governments always go into. Look at Mexico, North Korea, Russia, China, all of them. And so, again, liberty isn't just some quaint idea of goody two-shoes. I talk to troops and police who think it's, breaking the rules, violating rights, are cute and funny. Those are there to protect you from very evil people getting in control, police, military, and wrecking your society forever. Wayne Madsen, comments on solutions.
Well, I'll tell you that, we saw a lot of grassroots politics in this last presidential election. I think the fact that we got a lot of people who normally vote, turned out, registered, voted. We saw a lot of people involved in the campaign, not only Obama's campaign, but other campaigns. But what does that buy us in the end? Obama's keeping Gates in as Secretary of Defense, may keep Hayden as the CIA director. I'm afraid that if that's the kind of grassroots politics, that's the results we get from grassroots politics, all the time and effort and money that was spent on it. Maybe that's not the solution. Maybe what the people in Greece are doing is the solution.
Well, I mean, that's my whole point, is that once you have a military-industrial complex that's bought and paid for by offshore financial criminals who are openly running global Ponzi schemes to not just gain all the wealth but destroy any wealth they don't control, I mean, this is warfare. This is military financial conquest. We're being conquered. And then in case the people try to rightfully, as the Declaration of Independence states, get our government back by any means necessary, they're flaunting and shaking the military and police like a stick in our face, saying, go ahead and start it. But historically, if we do start it, we're probably going to kick their butt. But then that'll wreck the country. I mean, we have madmen going going for broke. It's their nature. It's their instinct. And history shows they will do it. The public has to quit judging the world according to their own mindset of, well, I don't want to be a dictator. Well, I don't want to be a control freak. Well, I don't want to put people in FEMA camps. Yes, but powerful people do. That's why they're in power, because they have a taste for it, and there's never enough for these people. Thank you for the call, Leo. Michael in MASH, you're on the air with Wayne Madsen.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good.
I had a quick question. Not too specific, but I figured you guys would be the best to, you know, answer this. Been studying a lot of the stuff you guys talk about, and, you know, I find it all real interesting, real informative, and it's compelled me to make, you know, pretty drastic changes in my life. And what I wanted to ask both of you guys is, do you ever find yourself feeling somewhat, I don't know, isolated in social situations? Like, you hear discussions and people are talking, and it's like, you know, oh my God, you're so ignorant that you're completely not even discussing anything that matters. Do you ever find yourself frustrated that, like, it's almost difficult to feel comfortable in a social situation?
Sure, you got a bad phone. I'm going to let you go, but it's a good comment or observation. Wayne, you want to comment on that?
Oh, when you deal like I do every day here in Washington with the so-called mainstream media, the corporate media, and you talk to people about certain issues that are critically important, and they look at you with this glassy stare, and they wonder what you've been smoking or where, you know, what you're on. That is highly frustrating, because these people are not journalists; they're stenographers. All they do is parrot, you know, what they get in the fax machine from various agencies and law offices, and they don't do what I call shoe leather journalism. They don't get out and talk to people. They don't go investigate things. They don't go up to the National Archives and pull records and the Library of Congress and police files. But that's very frustrating, because you like to think that, you've got some help in trying to expose some of these. Now, there are some good journalists around, but we're not paid very much. And I'll tell you, we live from day to day. We're not working for the ABCs and the MSNBCs and CNNs like these stuffed shirts are.
Well, look, in the final equation, the elite are making a move on us because they know through the pop culture they have conditioned the public to laugh at anybody that cares, to laugh at anybody who gets involved, to make fun of people who are, you know, civically responsible in any way. And so because we are this decadent, giggling, smiling, foolish public, on average, there are a lot of good people, and a lot of folks starting to, you know, wake up out of that delusion. The establishment is now making their move. We can only hope that as things get worse and worse, the people will finally take the time away from ball games and, you know, following the latest fashion to get concerned with what's happening in the world around them. But I don't really feel isolated. I mean, I get thousands of emails a day. I talk to generals. I talk to former intelligence heads. I talk to former presidents. I talk to, you know, high-level members of foreign parliaments from Japan to England, and they're awakening. And I even see the popular culture beginning to awaken to what's happening. And so I see an establishment in crisis. So much of the staging terror attacks and, you know, so much of the fear-mongering and trying to start wars between India and Pakistan, that's in an attempt to keep their order in place and to have their technocracy succeed. But I don't see it succeeding in the end. Wayne Madsen?
Well, I agree, and then, you know, I mean, one of the things here, if you're looking at something, you know, that the mainstream media is ignoring, either willfully or just by act, is you're always labeled a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, I get that quite a bit. People say, "Oh, hey, what's the latest conspiracy theory?" I'll look at these journalists and I'll say, "I don't know. One of you tell me what the latest coincidence theory is." The media is bought and paid for, obviously. Anything that does make it to the airwaves or the cable has already been highly vetted, and, you know, came on with it. It's called PAC journalism.
Wayne Madsen's our guest. A few final calls from Bart, Paul, and Mohan when we get back. And then I'm going to get into a huge news blitz when we start. The fourth hour will also be live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us. The criminal, illegitimate government, openly run and owned by foreign banks, will be watching you. Well, we're watching you too, crooks. We're aware of what you're doing. We're going to fight back against you. WayneMadsenReport.com is his website. Mine's Infowars.com. I hope you'll check it out today and buy some of the books and videos there. It's still time in the next few days to order the books and videos in time for Christmas and ship them to your friends, your family, your neighbors, and hopefully wake them up, because people are really ready to be awakened to what's happening. Bart in Texas, and we'll try to cram Paul in Germany in. We'll get to Mohan and others in the next hour. Bart, go ahead. You're on the air with Wayne Madsen.
Yes, what I wanted to say is that, you know, you guys talking about Obama and then talking about these massive snoop systems like Echelon and Stellar Wind, it's critically important for people to understand that those are not separate topics. They are both very directly related to the scientific dictatorship, in that they use these systems to monitor trends within the society. That information, like huge amounts of metadata, are then taken and war-gamed in the same computer systems that they used to figure out, you know, nuclear exchanges with the Soviets back in the 80s, and then they project trends. Now, Obama is a trend that they have projected. Over 8 months ago, and I'm not just tooting my horn here, but 8 months ago I predicted on my show there would be an Obama presidency and there would be a new deal. That all came out of reading policy reports out of the Center for Strategic International Studies, Dr. Nye, all these other guys saying, we need an FDR, we need a JFK to revitalize the public support for our system. So, I mean, we have to understand that they are wargaming this information on a mass scale, and they're using that with propaganda systems against
Put him on hold. He's not listening to me. Absolutely. It was on record. They said we needed an FDR type to bring people back into believing the government. Notice they're crashing things right as a new president comes in, so they can claim he's here to fix it all. Wayne Madsen, in closing, do you agree with his observations?
Well, absolutely, and you know, this massive amount of data they're collecting, add that to the snooping of our communications, think about the databases they have access to. This is Big Brother on steroids.
All right, caller, you can call me back sometime and tell me about your predictions. I need to go to another caller, as I promised to go to Paul in Germany before this show ended, this hour ended. Paul in Germany, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I called you on Friday, and you had asked me, since I'm in the Army, what I had heard about troops being deployed to the United States, and I told you I hadn't heard anything in here in Germany. So I pulled out my phone book, and I called some of my old buddies who are still stationed in the U.S., and I've been talking to some of them about what they've heard about it and what they know about it. And I found some really interesting stuff out from them that I'm not sure if you know or not. But apparently, everybody who's going to be deployed to the United States is going to be under the command of NORTHCOM. And everybody
yes,
under the command
that's all been announced. That's yeah, exactly. What are they saying about it? What do they think?
They're being fed the same stuff that we're being fed. I found online an article in the Army Times about how great it is and how, you know, super it is, and we're going to be doing stuff in the U.S., you know, helping the police, and there's nothing in there about you know, civil unrest or...
Yes, there is. The Army Times says it's for riots, civil unrest. That's in Gates' own report as well.
I must have missed that in the Army Times article that I read, or I'm reading a different one. But they're under the understanding that they're there to help. They're not tracking the whole civil. The people that I've talked to, who I know.
Okay, whatever, man. It's all over the news, so I can't help them really. So thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, Wayne Madsen, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I appreciate you spending time with us. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Good to be with you, Alex.
All right, we'll be live at PrisonPlanet.tv coming up. In about 1 minute when we come back into the fourth hour. So please stay with us. thank you for joining us. We are now into the fourth hour of the show today. We're live on the video at prisonplanet.tv and also streaming over the Infowars.com audio streams, simulcast on AM and FM stations across the country, global shortwave, and, of course, satellite. Thank you so much again for joining us today. All right, in this hour, I want to recap some of the top stories we've covered, but then get into a bunch of other news that I haven't covered. Also want to show you, not just read it on air, but show you the lies of the Marine Corps and of the California Highway Patrol, where they admitted that the Marines were outrunning checkpoints. Then they lied and put out another press release saying they weren't doing it, and then they were caught by local news stations out there with the Marines searching and running checkpoints against the American people. This is a very big deal, and we'll be going over those press releases and putting those up on screen later in the show for you. Also have a whole bunch of mainstream media reports about how the federal government, different psychiatry organizations are coming out all over the news saying the majority of the American people need to be on Prozac and Ritalin, brain drugs, to boost everybody's minds, to make everybody smarter, to make everybody basically superhuman. So this is also part of the whole move towards a THX-1138 Brave New World, where the public is all basically drugged at the hands of the government. We can go back to the 2005 New Freedom Initiative that Congress passed, and then one of their board members leaked their internal documents out of Pennsylvania, where they admitted this is about going from around 15% at the time of the school children on psychotropics or amphetamine-type drugs, Ritalin, Prozac, and those different families of psychotropics and stimulants, to getting half the children on them. And now in just 2 or 3 years, they're over 20% of the children total. And in the elementary school, in some areas, it's over 40% are now on drugs. So a omnipresent state drugging the population. Also have reports of Masonic organizations and police organizations all over the country with what's called the CHIP program, getting children enrolled in databases, face scans. In places like Indiana, they're putting in face scanners that scan your whole head, thumbprinting nationwide to get you into these databases. And I saw another report being done by the Masons in the Mason care facilities, where they are doing a national pilot to test people's homes, where cameras and surveillance systems watch you to make sure when you're elderly, you're eating enough food, that you're going to bed when you should, so that I guess they know when to then come in and with eugenics, I guess, take you off to the euthanization center. And we posted that up on Infowars.com. So that is some of what we'll be covering here on the radio show today, early in the hour, so that I don't forget to go to your calls. I am going to open the phones up at 800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. And we will be taking some of your phone calls. Again, ladies and gentlemen, there are just scores of articles in the mainstream press, the Journal of Nature. In fact, I see you guys have it up on screen. See right there in the third paragraph where it has a blue link to Nature? That's the story that I want there in the paragraph where it says Nature. See the exactly. And then click on Nature right there. And you will be able to actually go to the Journal of Nature telling everybody that we need to all basically be on drugs. But that's coming up later. The coverage on the Marines is coming up later. A few seconds ago, you saw us also put on screen, again, one of the press releases from CHIPS dealing with the Marines, U.S. Marine Corps, on the streets of America. In that case, it is California. So please stay with us. We'll be back after this quick break and continue with your phone calls and the news. We are live here at prisonplanet.tv. Please stay with us. I'm going to leave you.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, let's continue with your phone calls. Before I do that, I want to finish up with the last caller we had to cut short, Paul from Germany. He called in last week and brought up to me, you know, about the military on the streets of America, and he hadn't heard about that while he's in the Army in Germany. And then today he called back and he said he read the Army Times and didn't see anything about civil unrest. Well, the Army Times article that we covered and the Washington Post and every other publication, Secretary of Defense Gates' directive he put out on the 24th of November to the armed services said for civil unrest. Okay? And so right now, for everybody at PrisonPlanet.tv, I am just going to go to the wicked Google, because it is still the best out there, and I'm going to type in Washington Post, Washington Post, and then I'm going to put in after that Northcom. That should bring it up. Okay, I'll just do this myself here on air. And when you go to that, you click on News, and I typed in Northcom. Let me type in civil unrest. I guess I could just cancel the show and do this, because that's what I'm going to have to start doing, just to get this stuff for people. And here you have it. This is the Reading Eagle out of PA reporting on it. And it says for 20,000 uniformed troops for civil unrest and crowd control. Op-Ed News has a link to it. So I'm just going to sit here until I find this, and I'm going to show everybody this. And I'll assure you there's Marines running checkpoints as well. There's just unbelievable denial going on. Well, here is the Army Times. Let's just click on the Army Times, and maybe they've edited this and changed it. But I know I had my people save it because I'm making a film. Brigade Homeland starts tour October 1st. 3rd Infantry 1st BCT trains for new dwell time mission, helping people at home may become a permanent part of active duty. And let me read this to people. And I'll just have to read that during the break, because I'm going to be able to not be able to read the whole thing here on air. And there's a correction here. It says the non-lethal crowd control package fielded in the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division, described in the original version of the story, is intended for use of deployments to war zones not in the U.S., as previously stated. So I guess they have actually edited this article, because previously it said for civil unrest, and it said they were going to use non-lethal weapons against the American people for riots and crowd control. And it does appear that they have actually removed that out of the article. So there they are, trying to cover their tracks. But there's none of this is hidden in the Washington Post article that was there for everybody. So what I'm going to do is, I'll try during the breaks myself, to put together an article package for everybody where they do admit this, and I'll try to pull up the Secretary of Defense Gates document. In fact, let's just go ahead and do this now, and I'm going to do it again at the end of the show because we have a guest coming back on the show. The Marines announced last week that they were going to be through the 12th through the end of this month, into the new year, running checkpoints in one particular county with the Sheriff's Department and the California Highway Patrol. And on screen, there's two of these. The first one is the unamended copy. This is what they sent out. Then we called the Marines, we called others, and they said, yes, it's true, we're going to be out there doing it. Then when the local media got upset about it, they put out the amended copy, which is the second one we're going to put up on screen for you, if we have that. And there is the amended copy for everybody. And then they lied and said they weren't going to be out there, and then local news stations did report, and we have those reports up on Infowars.com. They did report that the Marines indeed were out there. In fact, let's go ahead and play that clip, John, from the local news talk station, whose news director we also interviewed. This report ran a few days ago. For those that are still denying all of this is going on, here it is.
The local California Highway Patrol station held a highly questionable DUI license checkpoint Friday night. When they announced the checkpoint, they said they'd be doing it along with military police. Z1077 ran an editorial reminding the CHP about federal laws prohibiting the military from enforcing civilian laws. At about 11:30 Friday morning, we received a fax from the local CHP office announcing the action would not include military police. Also, by law, to avoid entrapment, the CHP is required to provide the location of the checkpoint to the media at least 2 hours prior. They did provide Z1077 with a phone number to call at 7 p.m. to get the location, but, defense lawyers take note, no one ever answered the phone. To add insult to injury, when the CHP held the checkpoint in front of the Home Depot in Yucca Valley, they did indeed include marked military police cars as well as uniformed military police.
All right, so there you have it. And then if you look at, just Google non-lethal weapons, here's the Army admitting they want to use C-130 gunships against the American people. Non-lethal weaponry applications to AC-130 gunships in actions other than war, and they admit they plan to use this for the American people. And this is what's approved for public release for everybody. So it's time for all of the denial to end on these subjects. The Marines also are building a new camp, complete with a sports stadium, inside 29 Palms, the same place back in the 90s where they had the questionnaire, will you fire on U.S. citizens? Will you confiscate their guns? And that's where they're then running around the countryside there off base at checkpoints with the state police. Okay, I'm going to go ahead now and go back to your calls. And getting up my call list here, taking some getting used to here in the new studio. Let's go ahead and talk to Mohan in the United Kingdom. Mohan, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks, Alex. I just want to say I appreciate all the work you're doing. I've been into this stuff for about 13 years. And I wanted to ask you about the financial meltdown. I'm very concerned about practical things I can do.
Well, I mean, they've been saying up until a month ago that there is no financial meltdown, like there's no Marines on the streets and there's no announcement that they're going to be used for civil insurrection.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just say there's no economic meltdown. There's no New World Order. Doesn't matter if the Financial Times of London announces that they're running everything and that it's world government. Just say it doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's crazy. I know. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about your advice, really, and what your opinion is about. I mean, do you see it as being a serious financial meltdown, even worse than the Great Depression?
Well, number one, it isn't even a financial meltdown. It is an orchestrated implosion of the economy by cutting off the liquidity, and it will be as bad as the social engineers think they can make it before we effectively throw off their bondage. And so that's why they're threatening us with the military now. That's why they're threatening the use of the military against the American people, is to try to scare us into going along with all this. And the same thing, as you know, is happening in Europe. I mean, the people in Iceland are not known for rioting. They're known for being some of the most law-abiding in the world. They've taken over the central bank there. They've taken over police stations because their food, their water, their currency, their banks are shut down because the Bank of England controlled their bank, that's in their own news, and has just cut off all their liquidity. And the British government has listed the Icelandic people as terrorists, and they are using a terrorism clause to not allow them to get their money out of British banks.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, do you foresee serious riots? And, you know, what worries me is about in UK, the population density is so high. I mean, a friend of mine reckons there's going to be serious blood on the streets and, you know, a lot of people killed.
Well, it is. The population density, it wouldn't be high if people weren't herded into the cities and the Queen and her minions didn't own most of the property. Pull up that Gerald Celente article from PrisonPlanet.com where he was predicting the riots for folks. Again, we've been predicting this as well. Greece-style riots coming to the United States. That's up on PrisonPlanet.com. Frequently and frighteningly accurate trends forecaster Gerald Celente says the America will see riots similar to those currently ongoing in Greece, and that will be caused by hyperinflationary depression. And it goes on from that point. We're being told the riots are happening because the police shot a child, but that was only really the flashpoint there. But again, if you read the IMF and World Bank documents that were released at the end of 2001, that are in my book, Descent into Tyranny, they state that they create the economic collapse to then cause the rioting, and then once, because the social engineers know within 3 to 4 days you get rioting with no food.
Yeah.
That's what's happened in Greece in many areas. No jobs, no food. Then that gives them the excuse to, well, then that makes the stock markets plunge even further. That makes society and all hope be lost. Then things fall apart, so the establishment has the pretext to really come in with total control. And then the middle class begs them to come in for control just to stop the rioting and looting. You understand?
Right. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, like a friend of mine, has been talking about, it might be a time, at the time, maybe a year's time or so, to get out the country. He doesn't know that much about the conspiracy stuff, but he's talking about serious blood on the street.
Where are you going to go? I mean, where are you going to go? This is going to be a worldwide depression, a worldwide control grid, openly, as the Financial Times of London said, to bring in a world government. They are bringing in world government right now. I mean, they killed hundreds of millions last century funding the Nazis and the communists, the same banker families publicly. I mean, so the sky's the limit. They must be defeated. They must be exposed. And they're openly stealing $8.5 trillion in the U.S., trillions in Europe, close to a trillion in England. I mean, they are the criminals. They are the Ponzi scheme operators. But they're such big, powerful Ponzi scheme scam artists that they own the military and the government fraudulently. So, either they go or we go. Either they get their world government system of tyranny or we defeat them. I appreciate your call. We'll come back, take more calls, cover a lot of other news. Stay with me. Okay, we're live. During that little four-minute break, I was trying to Google around for CBS News, Washington Post. I know we screenshot and save the Army Times, where it said, we hope we don't have to shoot Americans. But that's what we're deploying for, and that's in Gates' own report. And then I said, I'll just go to prisonplanet.com and find the articles that Paul Watson and Steve Watson wrote about this a month ago. And so I went to prisonplanet.com, and guess what today's afternoon top headline, because they write multiple stories a day. They're great guys. It is a story we've got up on screen for you right now. And it says, Army Strategic Shock Report says troops may be needed to quell U.S. civil unrest. Purposeful domestic resistance would require military to rapidly determine the parameters defining the legitimate use of military force inside the United States, and that is against the American people. I'm reading directly from the Army Strategic Report. I mean, there's hundreds of these. I mean, just today, I'm talking about it, and people are calling in who can't find it, and it's just everywhere. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to set Paul Watson up on the show tomorrow, or I can just do this tonight, and I'm going to find 10 reports and a couple of Army reports where they're saying it, and I'll blow it up and show it to you on screen so that there's no more denial about all of this. Strategic Studies Institute, United States Army War College. Okay, do you see that? Punch me up. Okay, you see this? I'm on prisonplanet.com right now. The date is the 16th of December, 2008. And you can go there and you see the official Army War College strategic development. And it says right here, use troops against the American people. And what are the rules of engagement against the American people? Now, Gates on the November 24th put out another report saying it's for civil unrest and rioting in the United States. That's what the Army Times said, and there was a huge backlash to it. And that was 2 months ago when they announced, a brigade, close to 5,000. Now they've announced 20,000 troops for homeland security to fight terror, environmental reasons. Barack Obama put out a new order. In fact, I've got it right here in my stack. Here it is. WorldNet Daily and Infowars.com. And what is our source? We link directly through to Obama's new national security directive. I mean, here they are right here. Here they are right here for you, and you can read where he's saying that. Here are the headlines. New rules for Obama's National Security Force. It doesn't just say policing. It doesn't just say law enforcement. It says for all community reasons, which is what Gates mentions in his report, what the Army Times says about using troops, quote, at auto accidents. And then we have the Marines out at checkpoints in California for U.S. citizens, and we put that on screen. I mean, I don't know how much more We've got to show people before they figure it out. But put it back up on the screen. This is the Army War College, ladies and gentlemen. The Army War College. And listen, people may, you know, seem like I'm really in a bad mood or upset. I'm upset because, I mean, I've been videotaping the Marines training to confiscate our guns for a decade. I've had Army walk up to me in on the streets of Texas, in Belton, south of Waco, and say, turn your cameras off. You know, that's in Road to Tyranny when they're out there. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, this is going on all around us, and we have to address it and deal with it so that we can politically say no to it. Instead, we have been so culturally taught that this doesn't exist as it was creeping up, as the alternative media warned you, that people are now saying, well, no, the media denies it. They are not denying that this is going on. So I need everybody to go right now to prisonplanet.com and get this report that's up on screen and get it out to everybody that we know out there. In fact, John, just go ahead and dial Paul Watson for me right now on air. Go ahead and dial him in England, because I can't do this by myself in here while they're busy running the show. And Aaron's busy packing up the studio over there today, so he would normally be here to pull stuff up while I'm live on air. And I want to get Paul on, and by the end of the show, I want him to come on, and he can read five or six headlines and give people where it says civil unrest. I mean, I just gave you another one. I just gave you the Army's website saying it on screen for you. Punch it back up. They'll say it's not real. And there it is, folks. Okay? And it says right here in it, in the 51-page report, that they are going to use these against the American people. I mean, there it is. And there's the article that boils down all the key points of it with links. Widespread civil violence inside the United States would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities in extremes to defend basic domestic order and human security, the report authored by retired Lieutenant Colonel Nathan Fryer reads. Deliberate employment of weapons of mass destruction or other catastrophic capabilities, unforeseen economic collapse, loss of functioning political and legal order, purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency, pervasive public health emergencies, catastrophic natural and human disasters are all passed to the disruptive domestic shock. But what this guy doesn't know writing this, I'm sure he's not evil, is that this was all engineered and orchestrated. It's just incredible.
I'm with you.
We're back live, ladies and gentlemen, here at PrisonPlanet.tv. We're streaming live over the internet. I'm going to go to your phone calls, and I'm going to go through a news blitz here. I mean, I could talk all day just about this article out of Nature. There's a bunch of other stories where they say we all need to be put on drugs, basically, that Ritalin and Prozac and other things are brain boosters. They're saying they want to put statin drugs in all the water to force us to take it. There's open discussions of putting Prozac in the water, just like they add fluoride. I mean, this is just total insanity. And then people will just deny that they're even saying all of this. I mean, you cannot make this type of stuff up. It's all of it is just too amazing. Let's go ahead and go to Mike in Ohio. Mike, thanks for holding her on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Alex, I've been sitting here and listening to you with my two questions in mind, and you completely blew my mind when you said that they're preparing to use Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, they're going to mount a C-130 that's normally mounted with the Vulcan Gatling guns and howitzers with microwave guns and sound cannons to fly around and herd the American people.
Well,
they've been drilling for decades to make war on us.
And I've seen Puff the Magic Dragon work out in Vietnam, and they can put a bullet in every square inch of a football field.
It's
Why
robotic.
Why would they need something like that here?
Because the bankers are going to totally bankrupt everything and take this nation over, and if the public doesn't like it, they're going to use the military on us. It's the bankers imploding the economy, then it falls apart, then the people riot, then they bring in the military against us. As we've always said, it's now happening.
Yeah. Well, I know I've been following things, but I never thought I'd ever see the day that we'd be using the Marine Corps in the United States of America. In fact, when I was stationed in California at the Marine Corps Air Station, we weren't even allowed to wear our jungle boots or utility boots off base. If you left base, you either went in your civilian clothes or you wore your full-dress uniform. There was none of this utilities off the base.
That's because in a free society, you don't have military on the streets running around controlling the population. But in a police state, you do. Good to hear from you, sir. I appreciate your call. Here's a story out of CNN. I see these stories every week. Slain student called 911, but no one came in time. And then 48 minutes later, the police did show up, and she'd been brutally murdered. Then the police, basically, for a few days, tried to cover up the fact that they got a 911 call and that this person came in and killed her, and they never came for 48 minutes. I'm not even here bashing the police. The police can't protect you. Historically, it's not their job, the Supreme Court's ruled. But I do bash the system and the police for trying to confiscate our guns. How dare you try to disarm us? How dare this article not say women ought to arm themselves? I mean, every day I read about some woman jogging or going to her car or somebody busting in their house, and these women light them up with a little 357 in their purse. You need to take your daughters out, teach them how to shoot, you need to train them, and they need to get firearms. And when somebody tries to come in and rape them and kill them, they need to kill them. Bottom line. Here's a story out of My Record Journal, and it says, Big Brother is watching, but seniors don't mind. I'm going to get this group or this senior on the show. And it says, seniors keep track of just about everything Shirley Player does in her apartment. Says censors keep track of just about everything Shirley Player does in her apartment, but she's not worried that Big Brother is watching. Far from it. And then it says everything she eats is monitored by a computer. There's sensors in every room watching her. They're making sure she gets enough rest. They're making sure she gets her food. She's 80-something years old, 84 years old. This is a test put on by the Masons, and they're the same ones making sure all the kids get in the databases. And you can go read this crazy article. This is just incredible. And she's doing this as part of a study with the Masonic Healthcare Center Independent Living Complex. And this is in her separate apartment, and everything she's doing being watched. Toyota's going to put sensors in all your cars, watching you with an infrared camera. And the minute the temperature goes up too high in the car, the sensor will dial a cell phone that's in the car to police that will then, over a cell phone link, watch you. The chief of police in San Antonio, in Houston last year, proposed cameras in everyone's homes, watching them. They're putting cameras in young people's cars. They're moving to try to make it the law that new drivers have to have a camera in the car watching them. There's always these excuses for it about how it's for safety. This is all about control. In fact, I forgot to give you this article, guys. Will you guys take these two articles and just put them up on screen? I know I won't be covering them at the time, but I want to get them up on screen so folks see them. Because what happens is folks out on the web watching this are lazy. They'll just say I made it up. They'll just say it doesn't exist. This is Time Magazine. Could Greece's riots spread to France? Now, how about the United States? Desperate doublespeak. Global cooling is part of global warming. Before I take some more calls, go ahead and get the fella on who we had to cut off because of another guest. Go ahead and get Ben on, who goes under the pen name Branson Hunter, who wrote the original great story about the Marines running the checkpoints that was then confirmed by the mainstream media, the checkpoints against the American people. He wanted to get more into the sports stadium FEMA camp that they built there and finish up with that. So I want to have him on to cover that as well. Thank you for the call, Mike. Let's talk to Todd in Texas. Todd, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, I sent an email out to Mr. Gideon Rackman, and he sent me a response. I'd like to read you what I got here.
Now, remember, everybody isn't inside your head. They don't know who Gideon Rackman is. Preface it. It's the Financial Times of London last Tuesday, and now for a world government headline, admitting it's tyrannical, saying that that's a good thing, that democracy's bad, and that the bankers are going to take over and set up a world government.
There you go. It says, Mr. Third Reichman, did you really think that the public would not respond to your distasteful and intellectually puerile plea for world monopoly of the elite? Global government for terrorism? We all know cavemen with box cutters did not pull 9/11 by making NORAD stand down. Global government for global warming? I thought it was now being labeled climate change. Some of the global warming conferences were being snowed out. More and more folks seem to be giving the cold shoulder to that.
Well, I wanted to hear how the email ended. His line got cut. Caller, call back in right now. Mike in Ohio, leave a line open for him. Don't let that line fill up, John, okay? I want to hear the end of that email. I want to hear how he responded. Send your email to Aaron at Infowars.com. That was interesting. I want to hear how that guy responded. Let's go ahead and talk to Todd in Texas. Todd, you're on the air. Or that was Todd. Charles in California. Go ahead, Charles.
Hi, Alex. You're Al-Qaeda, though, is the problem with your show, you know? It's, I think you're supporting terrorists right now with what you're doing.
That's right. I have FEMA on video teaching police that the Founding Fathers are terrorists. No, I'm agreeing. We're all now terrorists.
I mean, yeah, I think you're going to cost us to lose the war on terror, though, you know, specifically. And I don't know if you're going to... I think everybody's teeth are going to fall out from, you know, getting E. coli blue machines and not using the industrial waste, you know?
Yeah, you got to drink your industrial waste fluoride with Al-Qaeda.
Yep, but I was wondering if you knew basically how the whole the vaccine and the chips are all linked, and Obama also invested in, what's it called, AVI Biopharma, which made a vaccine cure for avian flu or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that?
Yeah,
so that's good to know, no? That you've got the chips. Supposedly the chips can tell if you have a virus. And, you know, because if you're thinking about this stuff logically, it's hard to, you know, hard to imagine that they're going to chip people. It's hard to imagine all this stuff. But when you know, because I thought it was, I thought that was the least likely scenario to happen is if a flu release. You know what I mean? But now I think it's the most likely.
Well, know, when they, you know, when they release the bioweapon flu, go to the FEMA camps, let them take your children, take all the inoculations, having the Marines on the streets are good, giving up our guns is good, the New World Order doesn't exist, but it does exist, and it's a good thing, and we should all accept it. I mean, that's basically the whole angle. I appreciate your call. Was Todd able to get back in? Well, I want to hear, I know he sent a bunch of nasty emails out and wrote a nasty article about all of us emailing him, calling us basically slime, but I'd like to hear what he had to say. Let's talk to Clint in Texas. Clint, you're on the air.
Wondering, Alex, if they had ever found that that nuclear warhead that appeared to have been lost from Minot Air Base on the way to Barksdale down there in New Orleans.
Well, it was
near New Orleans.
First, it was
did they ever
three.
Find that nuke?
Do you want me to answer the question?
Yes.
First, it was three, then it was six, and then they said they were misaccounted for, which is basically impossible to happen. And then, yes, they had never lost them. They had only lost them for a few days when they were secretly flying them down from Minot down to Louisiana. And so that was clearly some weird clandestine operation where the military was trying to steal the warheads for six cruise missiles themselves. And so it was only lost for a day or so.
Oh, okay.
But it was never lost. They were trying to bait and switch it. And then somebody in the chain of command blew the whistle. And then they murdered a bunch of people involved with it. A bunch of people involved flying the nukes out mysteriously died.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. Boy, we have very, very sick people in control.
Yep. They'll stoop to no level. Well, there's no level low enough that they won't stoop to.
They're going for broke. They're stealing all the pension funds. They know the public's going to rebel against them, and when they do, they're going to use that as a pretext to turn the military loose on us. This is just ungodly what we're headed into. God bless you. I appreciate your call. We're going to go back to calls, but I wanted to bring him back up for just three or four more minutes to finish up because he was trying to recap and tell the story. He's one of the local news reporters who had been reporting on the Marines running the checkpoints in San Bernardino County and that's now confirmed by local news stations, and we've talked to the Marines and CHIPS, and here is the press release from CHIPS admitting Marines. I'm putting it on screen. It's real. I've shot video of this at other events, and people tell me it's fake Marines. They tell me it isn't real. This is the, yeah, let's keep that up there on screen. Other points you wanted to add about this giant training center they've built. Put up the first one for folks, please. That's the one, yes. Okay, I want to go back to Ben, who writes for the Cactus Thorn blog, who was one of the first to be reporting on this. Finish up your point about the sports stadium, little FEMA center they've built, sir.
Okay, Alex. Well, I think I mentioned that it's nearly the size of San Diego. Phase one will be 600 buildings. Now, this is from the Pentagon, and I sent you an email with the local newspaper write-up on it. Phase two will be 746 buildings, and it's called, those types of facilities are called, pronounced K-mount. This is out by Camp Wilson, which is 10 miles north of the main base. And
they claim that it's mount training, but again, KBR has built these FEMA camps. It's clearly a dual-use facility for the American people.
Why do they need a full-size Olympic stadium for training? That's a lot of money.
Well, there's sky's the limit when enslaving the American people. I mean, you know, I've got video of the Marines trying to take our guns. I mean, it's, and the public watches it and can't believe it, so they say it's not real Marines.
Yeah, and it's doubtful some of this money is coming from the Navy, because the Marine Corps is under the Navy. You know, it's coming from, no doubt, the Pentagon, as well as this expansion. And just recently, on national online newspapers, the Pentagon has lost like billions and billions and billions of dollars. They cannot account for it. Well, it's stashed away somewhere, you know, for an ulterior purpose. And if I could just go back to the Marine Corps is training off base in residential areas, in the Wonder Valley area, which butts right up next to the southern portion of the Marine base, is the helicopters have been using people's homes as training areas, low-flying helicopters buzzing around people's homes, you know, not once, not twice, you know, apparently they keep doing it. So the woman that brought this to the attention in a letter to the editor, she called the base and she complained, and they questioned her patriotism and said, well, you know, we need to do this so we can be trained and protect America.
Well, I'm putting video on screen of Police State 2000, and here are the hovercraft landing, and I have video of the Coronado battleship. Now, understand, when I put this out in 1999, major, you know, news articles said that these are not real Marines. They're saying these are not real hovercraft, these are not real ships, because they couldn't deal with it. The video is of Marines training with role players who are playing the part of the American people, and the police work with them with Chinooks. Now, people claim I hired these Chinooks. I mean, this has been claimed. And they go into the comments, and it's always military people, and they're running a psyop. They know the public's weak-minded, so they just lie to them. Chinooks and Sea Kings and everything else landing, over 1,000 Marines, hovercraft, foreign troops. This is all in my Police State trilogy, working with the police SWAT teams. I'm putting the police SWAT teams here. Now, again, people claim this is all Hollywood. They claim this is all fake. Doesn't matter. It's all happening. And I got video of them trying to take your guns. This isn't real. I hired all of this. I hired that hovercraft. I hired these police lining up to work with them. I hired all these warrior fighting vehicles rolling out that folks are watching on PrisonPlanet.tv on the streams right now. And I hired just supposedly all these people. And their evidence is, the role players. See, you know, the public's weak-minded and very, very dumbed down and really brain-damaged. And this is still photos I took. And so they go, well, wait a minute, you say there's actors. Yes, the Marines hired actors to play the part of Americans going to FEMA camps. Put it up. Here they are taking us to the FEMA camps. This is how the Marines were dressed up. Okay, these guys have been training to take your guns, to take everything. There they are with the mock police working with real police. Here they are practicing invading California. Here are the troops. I mean, here it all is. Look at that. There they are practicing slamming Americans to the ground. Okay, so I just can't deal with this anymore, the denials. Anything else, sir?
Well, yeah. Would you like to just talk briefly about the expansion, the Marine Corps' expansion?
Look, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to set you up as an official guest, because and I appreciate you being on. Could you come on the show tomorrow officially for like 30 minutes?
Sure.
All right, we'll do that. Take care. I want to come back with Paul Watson, because I got him to go find a bunch of mainstream news articles where they say civil unrest riots. I mean, I just put up the Army's official war college on it, the story on prisonplanet.com. But you're in denial? We'll even give you more out there. And I get upset by this. This upsets me when I'm covering this. This upsets me when I'm covering this. This is hard to deal with for me, for my family. I know what this means historically. Blew up earlier in the hour because I'm a real guy. This is real information. The caller calls in and says, I can't find it in the Army Times about civil insurrection. Now, the Army Times did cut a bunch out of their article. We've now discovered that, and they admit it's a correction at the bottom. But they did not remove, and here's the article. Okay, you see that? That this was just printed literally hot off the presses 5 minutes ago. When I got this off the printer, it was hot. ArmyTimes.com. You see that? Brigade Homeland Tour starts October 1st. Right here, it says, for civil insurrection against the American people. Now, you can go read that for yourself all day long. Let me give you the paragraph number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's a 12th paragraph. 12th paragraph. Now, I got Paul Watson on. He dug up some more articles where they say it's for civil insurrection. Paul Watson and Steve Watson just posted a big article where the Army's openly saying it. How do they engage the American people? You know, they're preparing the... Now, they're acting like this is all new. This is not new. But finishing up with Todd in Texas, who got cut off, he sent an email exposing and confronting the Financial Times of London writer calling for world government. Briefly, just give me his answer, because I want to go to Paul Watson. I got to finish up with him. Go ahead, Todd.
Yes, his answer was a simple no. So he crawled back in the shadows. He didn't think I could put three sentences together. Anybody else could do it. So these people, they have no spine. So, you know, there you have it. He just sent me a simple no. That was it.
So, I mean, you write him a thing saying, we're aware of your new world order, we're not going along with it, and he just says no?
Yeah, I told him at the end, I said, climb out of the reptile house and get in the ring, accept the invitation the Alex Jones Show extended to you. You stuck your neck out on this one. Be a man about it. No, he sent me on his BlackBerry. So,
all right, good job. Listen, I got to jump. I appreciate your call. This is a great first official TV show. We're going to have some 2-3-hour shows this week with guests in studio. I want to thank the crew. Doing something new like this is very stressful, especially for me in here in the catbird seat. But I want to commend the whole team in there. I want to commend hip-hop... Hartman, and I want to commend Paul Hartman. I want to commend Dan and everybody else, Aaron, and the rest of the crew. All right, Paul Watson, you know my pet peeve. Nothing gets me more crazy than somebody calling in and saying I can't find something that's all over the news. And so then I go to prisonplanet.com, and it warmed my heart. You guys happen to have a new story today out about this with a direct link to the Army's own website. But I know in the last 20 minutes you probably dug up some other places where they've been saying this as well for folks. Paul Watson.
Hello, Alex. Yeah, the new article is about... It's a U.S. Army War College report called Known Unknowns, Unconventional Strategic Shocks in Defense Strategy Development. And we've quoted several paragraphs of it. And in one of them, it says that DOD might be forced by circumstances to put its broad resources at the disposal of civil authorities to contain and reverse violent threats to domestic tranquility.
Now, by the way, that's the new Barack Obama spin. He goes, well, the Army's going to be under me, the civil, so it's okay. No. You know, the civil doesn't direct the Army. And so we got to get a blurb out on that. You understand the legalese they're playing here?
Yeah, and then it says... Quote, under the most extreme circumstances, this might include use of military force against hostile groups inside the United States. So again, it's saying there's going to be civil unrest inside the United States, and they're going to have to use military forces to combat it. And that's a new report, which we've done a big article on today.
Well, I mean, people have to stop living in denial. Paul, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Folks, get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership so you can see the live TV show every day and all my films and hundreds of other pieces, well, thousands of pieces of media. 15 cents a day, PrisonPlanet.tv. And it's $5.95 a month. Or get a yearly membership and get 5+ months free until December 25th. That's how long that deal's running. And I got a few days left to order books and videos as gifts to wake people up at InfoWars.com so you know that you get them in time for Christmas. So get those orders in. Rebroadcast with a ton of key guests and info starts now on the web at InfoWars.com. See you back live tomorrow on the AM and FM.